Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
I got another radio note for you also about a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting calls the last couple of days from Pat Prevost.
Yes, that's Slicky Boy.
Yes, Aileen Cunningham's son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Aileen Cunningham is the very sweet Mrs. Santa Claus-looking psychic.
Right.
Who we had on our show back on our old morning show.
Then
we went through a period where we didn't have her on, and we had her on our afternoon show for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like a lot of stuff, we kind of got sick of having her on, so...
Right.
We were gentlemen about it. We went to her son, who's her manager, and we said, you know, we just don't think it's happening anymore to have Aileen on the show.
Right.
Right. I mean, she's a wonderful carny, but...
Yeah, she's been, you know, very sweet, very nice.
But, you know, we're kind of getting bored of having a psychic on the show.
Right.
So Pat said, okay, no problem. And there was this other disc jockey, Harvey Fisher, Diamond in the Morning.
Snatched her right up.
Snatched her up.
Right.
Well, Pat Prevost keeps calling now. I won't return his calls,
mm-hmm.
but Charlie has talked to her, Charles Broyhill, and he said that now Aileen wants to know if she can come on the show again, on our show again, because this guy, Harvey Fisher, he doesn't want her on, and the only reason that Harvey Fisher ever took her on in the first place
is
because he thought that he'd be able in some way to get back at us.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Aren't those jockeys stupid?
Yeah, they are totally stupid.
It's like we got a bit on our show that we've had for 5 years that is old and tired out, no offense, Ellie, old and tired out and worn out, and we're tired of it.
Right.
So as soon as we drop it, he thinks...
Hey, I'm going to pick this up for Diamond in the Morning.
We actually had a pretty decent laugh about it when she was going over there. It was kind of funny because, I mean, we knew that he wouldn't be able to enjoy her company the way we did.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, that happened.
Yeah, the only reason we had fun with Aileen is because while she was talking serious and closing her eyes and talking to the callers, who all seemed to call with the same question.
Sure.
Will I ever meet the right guy? Will I get a better job?
Right. Where do I get a bag to put the dog poo in?
While she's doing that, we would either goof on the callers or me and Mike would actually write signs to each other. We would write notes on index cards and hold them up, and we'd actually play a game with Aileen.
See how long we could hold up the cards before she'd look up, and then we'd have to put them right there.
Right. And we always thought, you know, she was really a psychic.
She'd know we were holding up the cards.
She would know that we were holding up cards that just said, filthy. Disgusting things on them.
We had a good time. It was time. You know, it was time to kind of move along.
We like Aileen very much, and I know she still has a bunch of fans out there who occasionally will call us or fax us and ask us if she's ever coming back on the show.
She was very popular.
Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is no. I'm sorry that ran its course. There's lots of things to do on the show, but I just thought it was interesting that the other disc jockey picked her up and then just dropped her and pretty much told her son that the only reason he picked her up in the first place is because he thought he could stick it to us.
Wow, that's great. Boy, you sure did, Harvey.
You lose again, Harvey.
Way to go. We've seen the ratings and you continue to lose.
You lose again, Harvey.
Way to go, Harv.
You suck, Harvey. That guy's awful. He's the worst. He's pathetic. He's the most pathetic disc jockey in the Washington, D.C. market.
Radio to make your flesh crawl.
Oh, he's the worst. He lives for sick kids.
Phony baloney.
Because that's like he loves a kid that's sick because he can then base a whole show around a sick kid to make himself look better.
Yeah, but I work for the guy. I know the real guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know the guy behind that.
I only know the guy that I hear on the radio. And I know I hear the biggest phony ass that I've ever heard in the business. Someone who will exploit a sick kid or a terminally ill adult to make it for his own benefit.
Let me tell you something.
Seriously.
You go behind my back, and I won't just blackball you in the market. My revenge will be sweeter.
That's what he actually said to you, right?
That is a direct quote from him.
He
said it to me in the WYRE Annapolis production studio, and I never forgot it.
And this guy's whole rap on the air is, hey, I'm a nice guy, I'm a sweet guy, I love everybody. The guy's the biggest son of a bitch on 2 feet.
Reptile! He's a reptile!
He is.
Yeah, so he really stuck it to us, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, way to go.
Thank y'all.
Hey, and don't forget, Mike, he opened for the Moody Blues.
Wow, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, that was so funny. This is the funniest thing. I love this story.
This disc jockey, Jack Diamond, he's talking on his show for a month about, hey, yeah. He's like all disc jockeys,
right.
He has a band.
Yeah, of course.
So he says,
hey, my band and I, we're going to be opening for the Moody Blues. Here, thank you. Come on out to Nissan Pavilion.
So Rob actually goes to the show.
Rob has to go see the Moody Blues.
Of course. So Rob goes to the show. So I asked Rob on the weekend after the show, I said, was Harvey there? Did Harvey open up? And where was Harvey with his band?
It really threw me because I got to my seats and I heard like some noise off to the left side. And I went there, and he was not on the main stage, but on a stage by the beer cart. I estimate the stage to be about 8 by 10 feet. And it was a whole band.
Not doing, even in the venue. Not
no,
even
no,
in the
next
pavilion.
Next to the beer cart.
Oh, my
next
God.
To the beer cart, doing his little medleys of What I Like About You.
And I know where this place is at Nissan Pavilion, and this place is just this tiny little area, and it's a sideshow is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a sideshow.
Hey, I'm opening for the Moody Blues. Come out and see me.
Yeah, I think super. It's... This bastard listens to this show every single day. I would bet money he's listening right now.
Yeah, good opening for Moody Blues.
He's listening to this show right now. And when we used to compete against this guy, we beat his ass in the ratings.
I love your band, sir. Can you step out of the way so I can get a Heineken, please?
We beat his ass like a drum in the ratings. And then when we got moved to the afternoon show, we still beat his ass. I mean, we talked about him all the time. And this guy, I know we've told this story a million times. This guy actually came down to the station to complain to Ken Stevens because we are talking about him on our show.
This is the greatest part of the story because after threatening Mike that he would blackball him from the business, he came crawling back to you guys.
Yeah, so Ken says to him, what are you talking about? You don't like our disc jockeys. All disc jockeys talk about other disc jockeys.
DJ, get over it.
So then Harvey came into our office.
That was something surreal. I couldn't believe it. Because this, you know, and this totally not unprovoked. This is a guy that would, in his own wimpy way, make a little reference to us. Very, very hard to find him, but they'd always get back to us when he'd say something. Always be a throwaway comment, always be a little dig.
You know, typical disc jockey is such a big pussy that he doesn't have the guts to say what he really thinks, but he says it in a veiled way so that if his boss calls him on it,
right,
he can talk his way out of it, right? Because,
right,
of course, his boss says, listen, don't stoop down to Dynamite's level. Don't talk about them. All that does is give them publicity. Don't talk about Dynamite. Whereas me, I got no problem saying Jack Diamond because I know anybody turns on his show will know that he is a pathetic loser and will immediately switch the station. But, guys, a phony. He's a blowhard. Oh, Christ.
Yeah, just to head Aileen to get back to Don and Mike, that would really get there.
Oh, it did, Harvey.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it did.
And let's wind this up with one last Harvey story.
Yes.
We start competing against this guy back when we did a morning show. And like I say, we're beating his ass like a drum. One day, this guy calls us in the office. Again, this is unprecedented in radio history. This jockeys talk about each other all the time.
Yeah, it comes with the territory.
This guy got the balls. He calls us to the office one day, right? And keep in mind that his whole rap on the air is, hey, I'm a nice guy. I'm a sweet guy. I love everybody. Love you, babe. This guy calls us, and we got him on a speakerphone in our office. He unleashes the most vile stream of profanities. More vile than anything I've ever said or anything you've ever said.
Real high pitch, too. Real like
running. And then he tracks us all these ratings from his station in San Diego, which is where he worked before he got the gig in D.C.
A little insecure.
You know, we laughed. I mean, first off, we're just sitting there looking at the speakerphone, just laughing. And Harvey going, hey, F you, big dicks, F you. Then the fax machine goes on. We said, what is this? What do ratings from a station in San Diego have to do with what he's doing in Washington, D.C.?
I'm not doing well here, but let me show you what I used to do. Take that.
The guy's a dick. That's why we still talk about him to this day.
That's right.
So, no, it still bothers him.
And it's personal.
He still listens to this show every day, and he still wishes he had the guts to do a real show.
Right.
But you never will, Harvey.
Never.
You and that gerbil ventriloquist of yours. A ventriloquist dummy you're working with these days.
Oh, man, I tell you, he is something else. I don't doubt that for a second that he did that with Ellen.
Oh, no, that's what Pat Prevost told Charlie Broyhill, that Harvey said that to him. Said he only took Ellen on his show so he could get back at us.
Yeah, thanks.
Way to go, Harvey.
Boy, we are wounded.
Ouch. Ouch. Hey, how's the best mix of the 80s and 90s working out for you? You pathetic do-good loser, lost dog announcements.
Hey, yeah, I'm a nice guy. I'm a real great guy. Hey, if your kid's got a debilitating disease, call me up and I'll do a show to raise money for your child to make me look good, Jack. Opening for the Moody Blues next to the beer cart.
Yeah, opening for the Moody Blues.
Super duper.
And that's another thing. Stop bringing down the name of all disc jockeys by thinking that you're some kind of a singer.
Oh, he's pathetic.
You're not. You're a bad disc jockey. That is your lot in life. It is your lot to play bad Gloria Estefan records and talk to kids that are sick to exploit them for ratings.
When I was at the Moody Blues concert, I went with my stepfather, who was a professional musician, and noticed that his guitar wasn't quite amplified.
His guitar wasn't even plugged in?
It might have been plugged in, but if you watched the music you were hearing and watched what he was playing,
not in sync, huh?
Didn't quite jive. Good boy, Jack. Good boy.
Hey, you know you're pathetic when you have to be, somebody has to cover for you when you're next to the beer cart.
And the guy's a lazy son of a bitch, too, if you ever listen to his show, that he gets joke services. He's one of those guys, he pays $100 a month, like for topical punch or for the electric weenie.
Right.
And he does, that's the real name of a joke service, Rob.
Yeah.
He doesn't even make the facade like that he's going to make the jokes up. Here's how it goes. He goes,
hey, Mitch 107, hey, Mariah Carey. Good morning. 718.
And then I guess he fancies himself like a Johnny Carson.
Here's his monologue.
He goes,
hey, that President Clinton Weiler seems to be on the cover of Cigar Aficionado this month.
And, all his lackeys, tackle it up real good. Oh, Jackson, you're so crazy.
Hit the jingle. And these joke services, seriously, every single one of them, when we used to get them, we got a lot of them at the old morning show. We get a few of them now. But the fun part was getting the jokes in that they would send. Because every month they send you a sample of this stuff. And reading them because they were so bad, they were funny to listen to. In Harvey, office, but not on the air.
Harvey does them like they're serious shtick.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
And the worst thing is, I've actually heard this guy where he'll say stuff like,
hey, I was up all night working on this material.
Listen, I know how that works.
Right.
They fax you a page of jokes every morning at 5 a.m.
Right. You come in, get the sleepies out of your eyes, rip them off the machine, and walk in and pretend you're Shecky.
He's another one of those guys that has the DJ comedy service also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you get your station to pay like $500 a month, and they send you wacky parody songs,
mm-hmm.
and then he gets to say, hey, it's another Time Into the Morning Looney Tune. Yep. When in actuality, he had nothing to do with the creation of the songs, which are most times suck.
Mm-hmm. And you can hear it on other shows all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, the guy's pathetic. The guy's the worst.
He really got our goat.
Yeah. Oh, you did it, Harvey.
I tell you something.
You did it. Congratulations. You get a half hour on today's show. Bingo.
You big load.
Hello.
Hey, Dynamite.
Hi.
Speaking of lame disc jockeys, what about the guys in Mobile? Are they in a shallow grave yet?
I had a nice conversation with the general manager / owner of WABB today, and I don't want to say anything about that right now. If you catch my drift, things are going our way.
Sorry to intrude.
No problem.
Sorry to intrude.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Hello, Don on my show.
Hey, Don.
I'll tell you what happened with that situation when there's a little more to tell. I did get a very sympathetic ear, though.
Good, good.
From the owner of WABB, who understands our situation. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Great.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Just wanted to let you know, I saw Harvey Fisher down in Legends in Waldorf, and he was horrible. I mean, you would think that he would at least been, like, the lead singer or something.
No, he's not.
The guy hardly...
In his band, you mean?
Oh, my God. They played, like, the same... They played this Tom Petty, like, novelty song or something. I mean, like, 50 times a night, and everyone just kind of looks at him like, is this for real or what?
Yeah, it's his own ego massage. That's why he does that kind of stuff. He's not doing it because he's certainly not bringing anybody any quality in it.
The guy's off. He's about 3 feet tall. One of these short disc jockey types that likes wearing satin jackets and wears a bunch of gold chains around his neck and pinky rings and everything. Drives a freaking Corvette. I mean, come on, I drive a sports car, but not a Corvette, man.
I didn't even know that he drives.
But you remember the day he came to the station? He drives a blue Corvette.
You really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for you, Harvey.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah,
Radio God.
Hold on. Yeah.
You reminded me when you said that. Don't you remember when I think my friend saw it, Criswell Chevrolet.
Oh, the car dealer
had his name plaque on it.
Oh, that's right. He gets the car a month.
Yeah. That's right. The Jack Diamond Corvette.
Yes,
that's
right. He's driving this car.
So this guy's got a deal with a dealership where he, like, drives a car for a month and then gives it back to the dealership, and they put a plaque on the inside of the car that says, you know, Jack Diamond's ass sat here for 30 days.
Well, I tell you, this car, it smells bad. It smells very bad. It was very bad.
Oh, the guy's awful.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
If you're going to talk about radio DJs, you can't forget Big Don O'Brien of Brian and O'Brien in the Morning on B104.
Big Don O'Brien is our friend, my friend. Hello, Don on my show.
Hey, why don't you guys give 30 minutes to Washington's greatest DJ and Arby's supporter, Ken Beatrice?
You know, I miss him. I do. Yeah. I do. I miss him. He was fun to make fun of, but now he's on a station that he can't hear.
Hello, Don on my show.
Hey, what's up?
Listen, we don't have any great hatred for Ken Beatrice.
No, we don't. I mean, he's fun to do an impression of, but I'll tell you, it was, just sad to know he's on a station. I mean, it's one thing to go under a bridge and lose a station. It's another thing to go under a tree.
Now, Harvey. We hate Harvey, man.
Yeah, it's personal with Harvey.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, I saw Chris Tucker coming out of a gay club in D.C.
And then a guy from Rush Hour?
Yeah. The black dude that, you know, acts like Chris Rock.
Yeah, right? You saw him coming out of the, what gay club did you see him coming out of?
I don't know, it was down there by Buzz on South Capitol. We were coming out of Buzz, and he was coming out of this club next door.
Buzz, were you coming out of a gay club?
The name of a club not affiliated with me.
All right.
Oh, is that your gay club, Buzz?
No, I sold it, actually.
Hi. Hi, gays.
It's like a rave.
Is what?
It's like a rave, but Chris Tucker was coming out of a club called Wet next door. It's a gay club, and he's getting into a limo.
And you're calling to tell us this because?
Oh, he's just a homo. He's a fag.
I don't know, he might very well be. Hello, would make no difference to me, though.
Yeah.
I don't like him. I didn't like him in the Bruce Willis movie, where he was the disc jockey. You're right, he's like a low-rent Chris Rock.
That guy's on his 12th radio station, though, calling people to tell him that he saw him.
Yes. Hello, Don and Mike.
Calling everyone.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a couple names for you. I don't know if you ever heard of a guy played, I think, for the Jacksonville Jaguars, named Harry Colon.
Oh, yeah. He used to play for the Lions. As a matter of fact, one year he was the Donald Mike NFL Player of the Year, Harry Colon.
Harry Colon.
Beautiful. And there's another football player, I still can't believe it to this day, but their parents actually named this player, who's an African-American, they named him Simeon Rice.
Yeah, he plays for the Phoenix Cardinals. What is wacky about that?
You don't know what a simian is?
Yeah, all right. But, you know, who knows what the real spelling is of the name and everything like that. I don't like that. No.
I think it's cold, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard the guy's name. I never read anything into it, man.
We're heading into the homophobe bigot hour right now on this show.
Hey, he's a fag, and so I'm coming out of me. Hey, David Simeon. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
You forgot to mention Harvey Fisher's stellar real estate career that he jumped off.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. God bless our listeners. If they don't forget.
Right.
He never sold a ham.
Yeah. That's the other thing. That this guy, for a while, this disc jockey, Jack Diamond, he fancied himself as a real estate agent. He was doing that on the side.
Well, I'm in the mortgage business, and he never sold a house.
Never sold out. That's always an interesting footnote right there that, being a DJ, not good enough for him. He wanted to sell some real estate on the side.
We had a bunch of real estate agents call and goof on him when he was doing that. Then he, like, had a card that said Harvey Fisher / Diamond in the Morning.
I can do this. I can sell houses. I can sell houses on my
spare time. Yeah.
Thanks for coming by. Listen, thanks for coming to the open house. Tell me about your house from Diamond.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, yeah, my buddies keep making fun of my name. It's Brian Lumpkins, and they all call me B. Lumpkin.
Lumpkin.
I don't get it.
Hey, right.
I'll ask him to explain it to you sometime.
Lumpkin, buddy. Hello. Oh, we got to do a break. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi. I'd like to tell you I was a medical transcriptionist at one time, and I did a transcription on a guy named U. Balls. He spelled the E-W-E-B-A-L-Z.
U like the sheep? U Balls?
E-W-E.
U Balls.
And
send those to Bob Barker.
Coincidentally, he was in there because he had a wart on his dingy.
He had a wart on his what?
His dingy.
His dingy?
His ding.
Do you mean his penis?
His ding, yeah.
How did you say it again?
His dingy.
Thingy.
Thingy. You're talking baby talk, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I don't live in an adobe house.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Baby talk.
Thank you. Okay, this is the last call. Hello.
Hey, Don.
I know you enjoy the water, boy.
Don.
Mama said.
Don.
Yeah.
It was you, Buzz, and he had a thing on his dinger.
Yes, what?
What about Jonathan Brandmeier? Remember him?
Yeah, he's all right.
In Chicago, yeah, he was pretty cool.
Yeah, but he's a nobody, man. I mean, Jack Diamond is more of a somebody than Jonathan Brandmeier.
Well, how's he doing, though?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Is he still in Chicago?
Asked and answered.
What do I look like? I don't know. I don't live in Chicago.
Well, you know, we reserve the right to talk badly about other DJs, but in general, we hate talking about other DJs.
Yeah. Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I once met a guy. His name was Dick Laycock.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, one last call. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Great.
I saw Jack Diamond at one of his big gigs at the Kent Narrows in the Crab Deck, an outside bar.
That guy, he plays only the finest rooms, doesn't he?
And
was he doing his unique variety of Tom Petty parody songs?
He's up on stage, a little short guy, and he's kind of eyeing the girls that are eating crabs. We're just trying to eat dinner, and he's eyeing the girls, you know, winking.
He's pathetic.
They're just not giving him any signs whatsoever.
I believe I appeared at the Crab Deck one time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but I had a good reason to. I was down there judging the bikini contest.
There you go, Mike.
Back in my Annapolis days, I just couldn't say no to them. You know, they twisted my arm.
You weren't up there with your folk band, were you?
No, I certainly wasn't. You wouldn't have seen me. I was sitting down in a little one of those little plastic chairs right in the front row.
Oh, hold on. Here, we got one last tape of this guy. How do we get this? We knew someone who worked at Q107 that sent us, like, all of their disc jockey tapes.
Hi, this is Mix 107.3's Jack Diamond.
Listen, look at that phony voice.
Hi, this is Mix 107.3's Jack Diamond.
Yeah, coming out of a guy that's the size of Tom Thumb. Wishing you and yours the happiest of holidays with the sounds of Christmas. A gift from our family to yours. On Washington's Mix 107.3.
Y'all.
Jive ass.
Jive ass.
What a great guy he is.
You're right. We'll be right back.
It's the Don and Mike Show. 11:40.
Boss, am I glad to see you. Welcome home. Here. Sit down.
Yeah, wait a minute. Take it easy. That's what the other guys told me. It was a foul ball.
Oh, not with me, boss. I'm 100% for you.
Well, you better be. I got things to tell you.
I can't get on with it. You're back.
Now, button your lip and listen, will you? I got work for you to do, see? First thing I got to do is round up a new organization. I'm going to put them off together to run Jack Buck right out of the country.
Now you're talking. Who will we get?
I know. I've been waiting 5 years. Times have changed. Put all this stuff and run around loose.
What month is this?
June. Why?
Handsome Harry Edwards will be out. I can grab him in Philly.
Now, who else? Torpedo's what I need.
Clayton Maloney's the guy you want. He just got back from fighting in one of them foreign wars.
Is he any good?
Is he any good? They was paying them piecework.
Okay, now here's what you do. You take a bar out of the joint tonight. Round up them out and leave me Saturday night at the Crest Hotel around Fulton Street. We'll work out of there.
Right.
Don't forget to remember this. Don't do anything to Jack Buck or his mob beforehand. It'll tip them off, understand?
Right.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Got a guy on the phone about my pursuit thing.
Okay.
About the high-speed chases. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
It's LAOX. I've got the Pursuit Watch website on my computer right now.
Oh, you got it?
Yes, sir.
What's the address?
www.pursuitwatch.com.
And is it really 99 cents?
That's what it says.
Wow. Can you read it to me? Tell me what it says.
Join now for our 99-cent introductory offer. Sign up today and your basic membership will be only 99 cents for the whole year. Or get a rewards membership to be eligible to receive notification rewards for only 99 cents for your first month.
Ah, first month. Okay, well, that's still a good deal. That's great. So anytime there's a chase on TV, live cops, you get to see it. All right, I'll sign up for it. Thank you, my friend.
Good luck with Jack Diamond, Don.
Well, listen, speak of the devil.
Yes,
old O.J., I've been told, is actually on the telephone now.
Really?
No. He called us up. Right, Rob?
Right.
And what did he say?
He said he'll say hi, but he doesn't want to apologize. But he'd like to say hi. Sounds like him.
You think it's really him?
I don't know. There's only one way to find out.
Right. Harvey.
Gentlemen.
Is this the Harvey Joel Fisher?
Good morning.
Yes, I think it is.
Sounds like it, or it's a very good impression.
I think it is.
Don and Mike, what are you so ticked off about?
Well, I heard your show the other day, Harvey.
Well, you're ticked off about my show every day. What's new?
No, but more specifically, just about the other day.
Well, that was just a celebrity deathmatch pairing, that's all. You know, Frank Murphy used to call on a daily basis to have me talk about you guys. We finally did. Now you're ticked off.
Now listen, it's content.
That's what we're ticked off.
Listen, Harvey, do you really want to start a war here? As I recall, you came down to our studios and you asked us to stop talking about you. Now, when you mentioned Frank Murphy, you're talking about a guy that worked for us 10 years ago. And I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, this started 10 years ago, apparently.
I'm talking about...
No, you said that also, that it did start 10 years ago.
I'm talking about now, today, yesterday, 2 days ago, Harvey. And if you want a war, we can have a war. It'll be fun. We enjoy it. Our listeners enjoy it. All I know is that you're a guy that came down here and said, listen, please stop talking about me.
Have you guys stopped talking about me for the last 9 years?
I turn on the radio one day, and oh, boy, you're all fooling yourself.
We included you along with the Grease Man and with Howard and our little... In fact, we even admitted we'd lose to you guys.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
We know that would happen.
All right.
All right, well, I will accept this as your apology since you were big enough to call us.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye, Harvey.
Hello, jump or something. Thanks.
What's that?
I didn't hear
that at the end.
What was the last part?
To send that down to the lab and have it analyzed. Something about a jump. Puddle jump, follow jump, and it didn't make sense.
I don't know. Hey, well, anyway.
Hey, he didn't dispute you when you said that was his apology.
That is a victory for us. And I'm sorry for everybody that was listening for the next episode of the O.J. Fisher Theater, but he did fulfill the requirement that I set out that he call and apologize.
That's right.
And I'll give him credit.
You know, when you said... Now, listen.
At least in that regard...
This is important semantics when you're talking about a DJ war.
When an honest guy.
When Don said to him, I will take this as your apology.
Mm-hmm.
If he had wanted to, he would have said, no, this is not an apology. You'll notice that he didn't do that.
He said, thank you.
Right.
So, you know, I'll extend the olive branch that much.
We'll back off.
Sure. Okay.
We'll back off.
He understood when we said, if you want a war, we'll give you a war.
Yeah, that's fine.
War's over, Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. You can stop listening to the show in fear.
You called. We asked you to call.
Yeah. Okay.
Message delivered. Communication established.
Okay. Thank you, Harvey.
Very good.
That is the easiest end to a disc jockey war that we've ever had.
We were, we actually had our troops lined up on the borders. We were waiting to invade, and... You know, it's amazing because it's such an expense when you plan for a war because you have to mobilize all of the troops. And now, you know, they were really looking forward to it, Don. They were going into battle mode, and now they'll have to be pulled back.
I know they were, but I've got to say, I'm surprised.
I do want to know what was said at the very last second there. I'm very curious about
that. Let's rewind this. Oh, Robbie, you got it. Rob's already analyzed it.
Roy Hill is currently analyzing it on his backup tape.
It was a throwaway, like, in a, you know, kind of a runaway mode there.
Okay, what was...
I'm going to have to listen to it a lot more because... The only word I can make out was yellow.
That's it.
Yellow.
Yellow.
That's all I could hear. It's not very clear.
Well, you know, he was saying it as he was
running away. So I'll let it go.
All right.
I'll let it
for
go.
Now.
Yeah, for now.
You know, you never know. Listen, you never know because, you know, he's very capable. He's somebody that we don't necessarily trust.
And, Harvey, this is me to you. I still got all the stuff on file. I won't go with it. I promise I won't. You just shut your mouth about me. You shut your mouth.
And me.
Oh, and Mike. Yeah. Sorry, Mike.
That's all right.
Sorry about that. Yeah, no, because he said some things about you, too. It wasn't directed just at me.
But I have a personal history with him.
So that's it.
For now.
Okay. For now, there is
a truce.
I guess a truce. Yeah. Although I don't like the word truce.
I don't.
It implies, in some way.
No warrior likes the word truce. But sometimes you have to use it.
Victory. For us,
yes.
A defeat for him, he quit. We won.
That's right. And, you know, the easiest way to tell is if it gets back to us that he's talking about us again.
Yeah.
Then, you know, that's it. And we will not talk about him.
Maybe.
No, we won't.
The guy is nothing to us. The guy's small potatoes to us. Anytime we've mentioned that guy on the show in recent weeks, it's been when we're just, like, talking about our history with him.
I think Charlie is possibly going to back me up. He says, we'll have lunch or something.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that.
Which sounds typical of his smarmy attitude.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that.
All right, okay. Well, then the guns are turned away, and that's it. It's over.
Well, that's a first.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's it.
Very nice.
That's the first.
Congratulations. Very nice. It's a weird business, isn't it? It is a weird, weird business.
That's the funniest thing I've heard on this show in a long time, man.
It is a weird, weird business.
All right. Mm. Hey,
He knew we were ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, mission accomplished.
We'll call the dogs off, Harvey.
Very good.
Just be a good boy now.
There you go.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yep.
Hey.
Hey.
Why did they weasel out of that? That wasn't an apology.
Well, now, wait a minute. This, you're talking to us now, okay?
Oh, hey.
And, you know, oh, hi. Much as I'd like to jump on that guy.
Uh-huh.
You've got to understand me that I don't want to phrase this the wrong way because I don't want this to come out as a compliment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it took some gonads for him to call.
Right.
And even though I had to put the words in his mouth that it was an apology, you know, listen, let's make no bones about it. The guy called this show with his tail between his legs.
He has called us, and he, you know, he called us, and the thing is, in previous altercations, and this has, as we both said, this has been going on a long time. This is the first time where he's done it the way it should be
in front of everybody. I mean, he's come down before, as we said, to the office and asked us not to talk about him.
Right.
But he fulfilled the requirement.
I mean, he got the message that we were pissed off yesterday. He called up. I think the message has been delivered. But you know something? It's going to be very easy to find out. We'll know soon enough if he hasn't gotten the message.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And we certainly, you know, we're certainly prepared to let it go.
I've still got the files here. But for right now, listen. Again, please don't put me in an uncompromising position of having to call him a stand-up guy or a decent guy. I will simply say he was backed into a corner. He made a telephone call that...
That's fine. We accept that.
He made a call that I personally would never have made,
mm-hmm.
but he did.
Right.
And that was what we had asked for, so that's it. We're done with him. And on with... You know, we got bigger fish to fry anyway, to be honest with you. He's just a pimple on our ass.
Right. He's still an OJ, though, right?
I don't want to refer to him in any other way except as Harvey Joel Fisher.
Yeah, the bottom line is, you know,
disc jockey.
I know, ma'am. I know that that you're looking, you know, really. Count on us. There will be other altercations. There will be a lot of anger and a lot of hatred on this show that you, I know that you will enjoy. And you should sit tight because there'll be something else that we'll hate. And you'll get your satisfaction. You really will. I promise you.
You got to know from a radio standpoint what you just heard. That never happens.
Highly
never.
Irregular, highly unusual, and hey,
never happens.
We accept that.
Never happens.
That.
And because it happened, we'll take it. We'll
That's
take it.
Good. I trust you.
Like I said, listen, would I ever call up some other disc jockey, you know, and basically in so many words say, hey, you've defeated me, please knock it off? No, I wouldn't in a million years. But he did, and that's what we asked, so... We will not release the hounds.
He knows we were pissed off. That's,
right.
That's the most important thing.
And everybody that is listening to our show right now
right.
knows that he knows.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all we had wanted all along.
That's fine. We accept that.
So, it's
all
over
right.
now.
Are you satisfied?
I'm satisfied. I trust you.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, our audience, they love the taste of napalm in the morning, Mike.
They do. When they smell blood, they want to circle the sharks.
Yep. Too bad. Hello.
Hey,
Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, I just want to tell you, I never had such a good time listening to you talk yesterday on the way home from work, talking about that other DJ. I tell you.
Well,
it
came from my ticker, man. I mean that. But listen,
that's legit. That was legit. It was, it was a situation that came from the heart. That is the truth, and I think that's the most important thing that we got across. Now, sure, you know, this thing for a lot of people, as we can tell by the phone calls,
right.
We know it's entertaining. We do.
But listen, for us,
but it comes from the gut.
It really wasn't like theatrics or wrestling or anything.
No, it's really a situation where
I was pissed off at that guy.
Where we felt like it was a guy that was in a position where he was kicking somebody when they were down.
Exactly.
And that,
exactly.
You know, and that's it. So now it's fine. It's
so
over.
For him to call our show with his tail between his legs.
That was good.
That's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the entire event is closed. You know, case closed.
Well, yeah.
Let's move on.
Really close to the time I had listening to you yesterday was when you had all those people on there fighting over the Furbies.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Yes, another person that enjoys the conflict
and
of the blood.
Listen, as Mike said,
you gotta have content. There's a competition.
There's plenty of that on this show on a daily basis.
You never know where it's going to come from, and you know, look forward to some other good conflicts coming up.
I do all the time.
All right.
I live right on the fringe of your radio station outside of Charlottesville, down in Virginia, off of JFK, and I pick you up as I drive in and out the mountains, and I have literally stopped on the side of the road to continue listening to what you've been saying.
All right, well, we do appreciate that. That's the best compliment we could get. Thank you. Listen, there's many other disc jockeys out there that we hate. Maybe not
Absolutely.
As much as them, but
sure.
There's other disc jockeys that we can sure work it up for.
Of course.
Just give us a chance, okay?
Absolutely.
All we are saying
is give peace a chance.
Give peace a chance.
Because, you know, you hear a lot of yelling and a little shouting on this show once in a while, but deep down inside, you're dealing with two very peaceful men.
Very sensitive men.
And as we have mentioned many times before, also deep down inside, two distinctly physical cowards.
Hello.
There you are.
Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Man, you guys pushed out.
Listen, no, I'm not going to accept these calls.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's it. We're not going to do
this. I'm not going to accept this.
No, because, no point.
You know, you've never gotten in a fight with anybody
before.
Great.
It was great radio.
Oh, yeah, come on. Listen, and the guy did exactly what we asked him to do. And I'm sorry that all of you people that love the taste of blood are not happy with that.
Well, what you're dealing with is you're going to get a lot of calls from the people that are leaving work today with a cranberry juice and their butt bleeding, and they're going to call in and, you know, want it to keep on going. And they'll get their fill.
Doesn't anybody get how humiliating it was for that guy to call us up? Doesn't anybody out there get that? I would trade that for ranking on him every day for the next year.
It shows me.
We got what we wanted after one day.
It shows me that the message was delivered. We were sincere. We wanted to deliver a message, and that indicates to me that the message was delivered.
And that's all we wanted.
There wasn't a call to ream. There wasn't a call, you know, with attitude. And when you mentioned the thing, I'll take that as your apology. It wasn't like, hey, I'm not apologizing. That wasn't said. So we accept that. That done deal. Done. End of story.
And that's me being a big guy. Because I, like, gave him the opportunity to apologize. And that's how I interpreted that. Hello, Don and Mike Show. He caved. A little apology.
It was very big of you to do that.
Thanks, Mike. Well, I couldn't have done it without your support.
Thank you.
I just want to say that right now.
Perfect job.
Mike?
Mm-hmm. Right back at you. God bless you.
10.
10.
Perfect 10.
Absolutely. Right across the board,
Mike,
it's all with 10.
Great war.
Great war.
Not since the Gulf War, when America suffered no casualties and we kicked all that ass, have I seen such a perfectly executed war. Let me just go one step further.
Terrific game plan.
Let me go one step further.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Schwarzkopf.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mr. Powell.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay. I had a question about being married.
You would like to get married on this show.
Well, yeah, I talked to my boyfriend, and I just wanted to find some more information about it, like if we both, who would be able to go with us, and...
Who would be able to go with you where?
Like, besides our, like, where we were going to go get married at.
Well, no, you get married here at our radio station.
Oh, okay, well, that's fine, too. I already talked to some of our coworkers, and, we've got two people that are, like, also do Be Our Best Man and Our Maid of Honor.
And just out of idle curiosity, who is the celebrity you most resemble?
I've been told that, like, from the neck up that my head looks like,
honey, we really don't care about from your neck up. What about from your neck down?
What is her name? Who is it?
Yes, who
Carmen
is it?
Electra.
Carmen Electra.
Really?
Oh. Really, from the neck down, huh?
Really.
Well, from the neck up, too.
And from the neck up, too.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, what you should do, really, is not just have just a tertiary conversation with your boyfriend. What you and anyone else who's interested has to do is get your spouse to be.
Right. We've already talked to him.
Get them to commit, though.
Yes, he has.
Not a 5-minute phone call. Get them to commit to get married naked on our show. And you got to come up with a groom and a maid of honor who will also commit to being naked. And furthermore, as many other people in your wedding party as you can get to commit, that would increase your chances of being the lucky couple that's selected.
Okay, so the most people that I can possibly get, and so, cool, if I have 100 people that will get married, like, come with us to be naked, that
would be awesome. If you could get 100 people to come down and be naked with you, I can guarantee
Bravo!
You would be the big wiener.
Well, you know what? I'll get on it. We have so many freaking friends that will want to go to.
All right,
fantastic. All right. Bring all your gorgeous friends.
Please do get on that.
That's exciting.
Get on that thing.
I like that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio God.
Hey, buddy.
That's all I wanted to say. Radio God. Simple as that. You guys are the greatest. Class act God.
Oh, right. Class act. Class act my ass.
Class act.
All right. Thank you.
Call me when you have no class.
All right. Goodbye. Listen, I didn't know that Harvey was going to call there, and I forgot. I didn't even write down the name. What's the name of that website?
www.pursuitwatch.com.
Thank you.
Very good.
I'm going to go upstairs, get online, sign myself up for that, and then we're coming.
Right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I heard some news today that I found rather fascinating. I understand that the Vicks people have come up with a new toiletry product that they're pretty excited about. I haven't heard much about it. What is it?
It's called Dismiss.
Dismiss?
Yes.
Huh? What is that?
It's a feminine hygiene product.
Holy crap. You're putting me on.
No, no, this myth. It'll be advertised on our show.
How about Vegigo?
That's not a bad name for it. Along with an other line.
How about f*** away?
Someone else has that.
Ah.
Sterling drug.
How about f*** off?
Possibly.
Yes, I like that.
I like Formula 44, NyQuil, Fennec, Victor's, and LaVorth, all the other fine products, along with the Smith.
That would be a bummer. Is there going to be a live commercial?
I was wondering if you'd like to demonstrate.
I certainly would. With strawberries and lemons, I pass a fruit stand, you get a horny mouth. Good sales.
Anyway, Smith. Welcome back again, Victor.
Right. I'm so embarrassed to do this.
The Smiths.
Oh. So embarrassed.
The best of Don and Mike.
About Kathy C. Gifford, you have that tape queued up, Rob? Okay, tape one. The song that we missed a couple of weeks ago that Kathy C. Gifford wrote about herself and all of the, quote, problems she's had in the tabloids.
I am so looking forward to this.
She is such a pompous ass.
I've never heard this.
She had to repeat the song on today's show because when she originally sang it, remember we told you about this?
Yep.
The ABC network cut them off on many stations for a special report about the Clinton hearings.
Yes, and she was furious, and I guess her mommy and daddy didn't get a chance to see it down here in Washington.
So here it is now, and we'll be able to dissect it bit by bit. And please pay special attention to the condescending way in which Regis introduces Kathy Lee Singer.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is from today's Regis show.
All right, so we had a little fun with the fact that a news break-in interrupted Kathy Lee. But what an interruption. I swear, it was really something. Just as the woman took a breath, boom, we cut to Washington.
You love me.
We almost died, but she didn't know it. Nobody knew it. You know, they just take these things away from these syndicated shows. So you may have seen it in some markets, but we wanted to bring her back to sing this song one more time. It's called You Sell. She wrote it with David Friedman. One of the songs she performed at Rainbow and Stars, and now here's the one, the only, the indomitable, the irrepressible Kathy Lee Gifford.
That's a sweet name.
And you know how to tune. It's swell.
It's like a Mark Russell song.
Oh, God. I'm going to vomit. Oh, it's bad. It's worse.
They put you on TV. They sell. Swell. Sell. They put you in commercials. And you promise folks the moon. It's swell. You sell. It's a party in a red line. How people are suspecting that they're being had. No. You sell. You sell. They put you on the cover and say you're crying the blues. It's hell, it's hell. They say your name is Regis. That's supposed to be news. It's hell, it's hell.
That sounds like the crowd is with her.
Oh, my God. I didn't think, reading the lyrics, I said, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. I couldn't think
it's
it
worse hearing her sing it, right?
It's 10 times worse.
And doesn't it ring kind of hollow when a woman who will pose for any magazine cover, be it Red Book, Family Life, People Magazine, for her to bitch about being on the cover of a magazine?
Well, so complete. I mean, her level of self-absorption is so total. I mean, everybody that's in any kind of show business at all has to have an ego, but this is so out of control.
Not you and me, Mike. And have I mentioned an hour into the show?
Yes.
Perfect job again.
Stellar job today, Doc.
Well, they put you on the cover, say your marriage is over. They put you on the cover, say your husband's a roper. They put you on the cover, say your kid is a brat. You once were anorexic, but now you're getting fat. They put you on the cover, say she's crying again. And the source, of course, is always a close personal friend.
Because she is so big. She is such a big star, Kathy Lee, but you're able to laugh at it all. You're just so great. Go together.
Yeah. You're such a woman, Kathy Lee.
Today you're battling with Rosie and Bill. The next day you're going broke because of all the bills. But that's because of all the plastic surgery you...
Hey, I never heard she had a problem with pills. Back that up, Rob. Don't you say you're battling with Rosie and pills?
Yeah, I guess so.
Don't you on the cover say she's crying again? And the source, of course, is always a close personal friend. The next day you're battling with Rosie and Pills. The next day you're going for...
Rosie and Pills?
I guess that's the tabloid we missed. Okay.
Because of all the bills. But that's because of all the plastic surgery you've had. And now you're close to suicide because it turned out bad.
Now, what did that sound, Rob? What
that
is she doing?
That was her pulling her face back like bad surgery.
Oh, like bad surgery.
She didn't really change her face.
Oh, really? Okay. Hey, nice little choreography number there.
Gotcha, Kathy Sink.
Well, do I keep it living with all those cancer scares? How do I keep on smiling when it's greeted by those stares?
Cancer scares?
Does she have cancer?
I didn't read that in the tabloid either. Well, she's bringing it up, so, you know, it's interesting.
How do I keep my sanity when facing all those lies? How do I manage motherhood? When they'd rather read about the plight of Frank and Frank White. Is this really what's become of what it used to be news? Perhaps the thing they're missing is a carnival cruise!
And her voice also is toast. Do you hear? I mean, she's like, she's squeaking it out.
In the same song that she's bitching about commercials.
Right.
And commercials selling people junk they don't want.
Right.
She still puts in a plug for her own cruise line commercial.
Beyond shameless.
Right? This is beyond hypocritical.
And beyond out of control.
Aw, damn it.
So why is everybody always pinging on me? Please tell.
Because you are such a C.
Please tell. Why am I the butt of all those jokes on TV? It's hell. It's hell. I really am taking it. To them, I'm not a person, but a personality.
You
sell.
Did the Richard Simmons Choir in back of her? I'll have to back it up a little bit there, Rob. I want to make sure I get every last drop of this.
This is, I never believed it could be this bad.
It's so Kathy Lee-y.
You sell.
Critics and the pundits ponder endlessly. Riddle, godly, what will we be rid of, Kathy Lee?
Amen.
I wish they had the answer if they only had a clue. I would truly die of shock if I got a good review. But that's never going to...
So imagine that she's choreographing. She goes, and then when I sing I got a good review, hit me with a kazoo.
Oh, that'll be great. Fantastic. Great job. A tribute to me. I'm so great.
God.
Nice. You know, in all sincerity, I treat it with hilarity. It helps me keep my sanity, maintain my famous manner.
I just got to stop this. Can everybody else hearing this and the people watching this today, do you realize what a phony bitch this lady is? Does she really think that she's pulling the wool over everybody's eyes with this poor, poor, pitiful me crap?
She certainly does.
Listen, Kathy C., anytime you want to change lives, let me know. You got it so friggin' bad. God damn.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. At
least you want to pull your hair out.
She got everything everybody wants. Just shut up.
And see, you know, and the reviews, and the whole way she talks like some kind of Broadway diva, which she could never be because she doesn't have the talent.
God damn it. You got the easiest ride in the world. You go on TV for an hour every day, and when you take out the commercials, you really work for maybe 40 minutes a day. 40 minutes a day, you make like $10 million a year. Everybody kisses your ass. Just shut up!
Shut up!
The poor, poor, pitiful me stuff is what just drives me over the edge.
Of course.
Right?
She's always been like that. She's always been like that. She has been. She is the Pollyanna of Pollyannas.
If you don't like all the publicity that comes with it, go off TV.
You can hear it. And to me, listening to that audience, you know, they're kind of fence-sitting. You know, it's kind of like, oh, my God.
She's getting the polite, ha, 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 ha.
She used to a long time ago. She had that audience. She had that blue-haired audience with her. She doesn't have that audience with her anymore.
If she can't get that audience, there's no audience.
Absolutely.
She can get,
that's
because
right.
That's her audience.
Well, you know what? She's played that card too many times. Mm-hmm. Too many times she sits up there with Regis and she'll say some self-righteous statement like, well, that's why we call it America.
And now she says that crap, but she waits for the audience.
And there's usually nothing now.
To applaud, right.
Oh, Kathy C.
Vice. Because they can deal with any news except the kind that's nice. You know, in all sincerity, I treat it with hilarity. It helps me keep my sanity. Maintain my famous vanity.
That's true. The first true lyric.
I learned to laugh at critics and it's forgot by the chefs. Yes, the president's come. Paparazzi had just passed.
See, here's the other thing. She obviously has not learned to deal with the critics because she has to write a song about them.
Exactly. And she can't laugh at it. She has not learned to laugh at it. This is not learning to laugh at it. The truest thing in it, her famous vanity.
Why don't you just be a little more like us, Kathy Lee? We hate being criticized. We just come right out and say it. Don't criticize us. Don't say anything bad about us. Don't write anything bad about us. And if you do, we will be all over you.
That's the honest way of dealing with it.
Right? Nobody likes being criticized.
He does.
But it's fun to criticize you, Kathy, see?
It certainly is.
But you people have been great to me.
You people.
You're the reason that I stay.
I stay. God, don't leave, Kathy Lee.
Please stay for us, the people.
Yeah, you stay. Thank God you're staying. You stay for the people. You don't stay for yourself, you bitch.
I'm sorry.
And the millions of dollars you make.
We, the people.
The people. You people are the reason I stay.
Oh, we're so grateful to you, Kathy Lee.
Jesus Christ.
Up, please, Rob.
I missed the lyric there.
Yeah.
Missed the lyric.
This is where she has her naughty booze reference.
Yes, the president's come. Paparazzi have just passed. But you people have been great to me. You're the reason that I stay. With a lot of help from me. And a lot of chardonnay.
She drinks.
In your eyes, and right there she goes again, starting to cry. When in fact you're really laughing because you know it isn't true. They're writing about someone, but that someone isn't you.
Yeah.
If I believe the crap I read, how I'm a woman filled with greed, who really is a heartless circle of women falling to work.
I believe that.
I hate me too.
Bravo, Kathy Lee.
God, it was like an anthem. You know, I mean, it's the longest song in the world.
On behalf of all the people.
You people, you are the reason that I stay.
Don't leave us, God, don't leave us.
Just say F you, Kathy.
Oh,
Lee.
I'd love to say
on behalf of all the people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Man. Oh, that was worse than reading it in the newspaper, wasn't it? And there were more lyrics there than were printed in the newspaper.
You know, unfortunately, there is someone who is so completely and totally out of control.
My God.
That is no checks and balances. And you know that Michael Gelman, the producer of that show, and Regis...
They're dying during that.
Those eunuchs are sitting over there right now. You know,
after the show, they probably go out to have a drink. They go...
Did you hear that bitch today, Michael? Did you hear her?
You know, I'll give it to Regis. The best part of that whole tape was Regis talking about when she got cut off.
Yeah, he loved it.
And his unabashed joy about that.
It.
And I would have loved to see his face. Rob, you watched it, right? What was his? What was the look on his face after that?
It was glee, wasn't it?
Sheer and utter delight, then
right.
Sort of trepidation afterwards. He brought her out a bouquet like they do, you know.
Oh.
And then, you know, a lot of times they even do like a gradual fade to like a New York skyline.
Yeah.
Hard cut and gone. There was no dialogue after that applause. It was just gone.
Oh, God.
It was hideous.
Oh, you better hate it. It was great to analyze. It was great to rip apart.
The paparazzi stuff.
God, they're just pests.
Oh.
But you people are the reason that I stay. Yes, sir. Of course you stay. You're such a martyr. You're such an incredible martyr. You're the one that had your name on the fashions with the kids in the sweatshops.
Anytime you don't like it, quit. Quit. Regis will put his old lady on the show with him.
Because you'll never quit. You're like Nosferatu. You're like a vampire. You are. You're like somebody who gets out of a coffin every day because
you remind me of Jeff Hedges. Hey kids, it's Daddy Scatty. On today's show, I'll be joined by Kathy C. Gifford.
She'll be crawling out of her coffin too.
Daddy
Scatty. Unbelievable.
Hello, Donna. Mike's show.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I just want to say something.
For the reason we stay.
That's right.
We're here because the people demand it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, fans.
We love it.
And Chardonnay.
You know, reading the lyrics, I have no idea it could be worse. That much worse it was.
Kathy C., keep killing me. Keep killing me!
A little Broadway tune.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
I just want to let you know, after listening to Kathy Lee crap, I will never need X-Lax again. I'm telling you, that it's coming out of both ends.
You know, I feel a little of the pain, too. I really do after listening
to
that.
It's a good thing today's not the underpants bit, though. For that bet.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Little Kathy C. update. I haven't heard you talk about, let's see, the 25th of this month, an interactive episode of The Simpsons. It'll be Kathy C. and Regis interacting with Bart and Lisa.
I think, Buzz, didn't you have that during the news a while ago?
You're really going to do this.
They're really going to do
Buzz
this.
Buzz, I was just asking you a question. We just want to know if they're going to be on TV.
Wow.
Well, Buzz, I'm sorry. I didn't know you already had it. You scooped me.
Yeah, right, Buzz.
Sorry, Buzz.
No, you're the man, Buzz.
What a guy.
Yeah, he is.
Don't forget the newsmaker hotline, right, Buzz?
No. Nothing to fear.
So I can't apply for the job. It's taken.
Yeah, best news tip of the week gets $1.06.
Right. From our friend Guy Birdley.
From the little Saturday. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
It sells.
It sells. Hello.
Yeah, I'd like to hear your comments on the part where she's talking about her husband having an affair and our marriage is fixing to break up, and I'll just hang up and listen to your response.
I don't know. You know, the whole thing, the whole song is just ridiculous.
And a false modesty, you know, when she makes a, I'm just Frank Gifford's wife.
Yeah, yeah.
If you didn't ask your Frank Gifford's wife, you marry Frank Gifford because it was the name. You married that name.
Frank Gifford is your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well be... Well, his name would be Kathy Lee Gifford, and he was the wife.
His name would be Frank Epstein.
Frank Johnson.
Frank Johnson.
Hello.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Hey, man.
You guys do not play the tape at a better time, man. I got my lunch break yet. I got a high level shoe hat. Blue and mad, man.
You about blue and mad, Mike.
Kathy Lee has that effect on people.
Hello, Donna Mike.
I told Rob Bay if he didn't put me on the air, I was going to start running people over on 270. That was absolutely heinous.
Yeah, it was. That's a great word for it. Heinous was the word.
It's
sad. You would be like as a remorseful drunk.
It's sad.
I'd like to, man, I would like to just, you know... I'd like to see her after three bottles of Chardonnay, you know, and get the real Kathy Lee.
Listen, I think she drinks Mad Dog 2020.
I want to tell you something about these stupid efforts that listen to my show every morning. That show is nothing without me. I hate Regis. I hate Michael Gelman.
I got to go down to another effing Walmart to walk in there and sell my product.
I wouldn't wear that crap if they pay me. I wear...
What's that?
Miller.
Nicole Miller fashion.
Yeah, my sister is such a pain in the butt. The only reason I keep her in the act is so they don't call me a bee.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I want to talk about Kathy Lee.
I think Cody's retarded.
Hello.
That boy ain't
Hello.
Right.
Hello.
Hello.
The real Kathy C. Gifford.
Sure.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Turn your radio. Do you have your radio on in the background there?
Yeah.
Yeah, turn it down, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Hello.
What?
Yeah, I know how she copes with all that now. She's an alcoholic.
All right. That's
very astute, sir.
Very much worth the wait.
You're right, Buzz.
Bye, Dumbuzz. Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
What are you guys doing?
We're doing the show.
Oh. Well, I'm just sitting here listening.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike show.
This is Cody.
Hey, Cody. Hey, dude.
I don't like the way he's talking about my mom, man.
Cody, you uptight about that?
Yeah. He got me down here working, and I didn't take a break, and I don't think that's fair, man.
Hey, Cody, you ever see your mom naked?
Yeah, man. Everything goes straight down, man.
Oh, her boobs go straight down?
Yeah, man.
Hey, Cody, were you 8 or 9 when you started talking like Joe Walsh?
Nine, man.
This is Cody Gifford, man.
Mom, I don't want to go down to Cody's house. Hey, dude.
It's Cody Gifford, Mom.
Hello, Donna Mike, your last call. Hello.
How you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
I just wanted to know what Buzz's opinion on Kathy C's song was.
Excellent question. Buzz, what do you think of Kathy C?
Buzz? Come on. Come on, Buzz. Come on.
Hmm.
Well, he's thinking about it.
He's pondering his response, sir.
Question, what was the question again, sir?
What did Buzz feel? How did he feel about Kathy C's song?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about what I figured.
Well,
oh, yeah.
All right, cool.
Have a great day, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, bye-bye. Oh, that's scary.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll come right back.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
You know, Christmas is a year when we should all get together and hold hands. And I'd like to sing a song for you, okay? It's that time of year when the world falls in love. Every song seems to say Merry Christmas. Will good new year come true?
This lady's pretty good.
It's a song of mine in Dakota town. Wishes you and yours everywhere the same thing to
Bravo.
Hey, that's pretty excellent. That's just like Kathy C. Gifford.
That's great.
Kathy C. Gifford, what do you mean from doing?
Goodbye, lady. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show, Radio Gods.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Great, thanks.
I got a question for you. Actually, I got a little wager for you.
A wager?
From Tampa Bay.
Okay. Take your time, sir. Really, this is a four-hour show. Take a nice big deep breath.
$50 to your favorite charity.
Yes.
For a Furby.
For a Furby?
$60 to our favorite charity.
For a Furby?
Yes.
Are you
what's
for the Tampa Bay Redskins game?
But you're all over the road.
Well, first off, I'm not betting a Furby because you're giving those away on the air. Now, if you would like to make a bet about the Tampa Bay Redskins game, which isn't even this weekend, I'll take that bet, but I would bet on Tampa Bay.
Oh,
if you would like to...
Washington.
I know, but I think Tampa Bay will win the game. If you would like to bet on the Redskins,
based
I will...
Based on simple statistics on this current season.
I will take you up on that bet.
Got another question.
And you know something? If you were going to bet cash against the Furby, you'd have to go with the going rate from the newspaper, which is about $300.
More than that, in today's paper, Mike... As predicted on this show, now they're up to $750 for a Furby, because now we're 2 weeks away from Christmas.
I thought you were going to say $1 million.
Dr. Evil. All right, what else?
How come Bart doesn't pick the games for this Cap and Bleed anymore with the guy?
Because now that Bart's in junior high, for much of the year, he had football practice on Friday afternoons. And he's got other stuff going on, man. You know, the kid's got a life. I'm not going to make him be Cody Gifford.
Okay.
Bart's coming in to be on the show on the day before Christmas.
Right.
Because he loves coming in, loves being with Uncle Mike and being with all the boys on the day before Christmas. But I'm not going to do to him what she does to Cody.
No way.
Cody, I don't care if you want to go play with your friends. Mommy wants you to practice your song so you can come on Mommy's special and sing it for all the people.
Mom, I don't want to come on this show. Mom, I don't want to come on this show.
Cody?
No.
Cody?
Oh, Mom.
Cody!
All right. Don't lock...
Listen, you little bastard.
Don't lock me up again.
I am America's favorite singing star.
I know, Mommy. I know. Don't...
Who's America's favorite, you little bastard?
Mommy is. Mommy is.
Sing on my show.
All right, I will. I will.
Now go into your closet. Frank?
Daddy.
You know, that's how it plays out.
Or how it will play out.
Just a whole Friday evening of him whimpering up in his room.
And Gift comes home because he's so pussy whipped because he screwed around on her. Nothing he can do about it. Like,
right.
Kelsey, where's the boy?
He's up in his room again.
He's been in there every night this week. Honey, can't we please?
No.
Let him, please?
He'll be in there until he learns.
Please?
No.
I read the article in USA Today where you had a lot to say about me screwing around on you.
I know. That's right. And I'll keep saying that. You keep in line, you.
You won't let that go, will you, dear?
Go get Cassidy. She's out in the tractor shed. Tell her dinner's ready. Her dinner of gruel and Brussels sprouts.
I love you, dear. You look lovely tonight.
Thank you, Frank. You don't. And then when they sit around at dinner, like she sings all through dinner.
Sure.
And after every song, the whole family has to go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mommy. May we have another?
Then they clear all the dishes. They do all the dishes. They prepare all the food. Mm-hmm.
And now he's letting me to rub your feet for you, darling.
Yes, I've got a nasty bunion. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Adulterer.
I finished the dishes. I've scrubbed your feet. I've heard all your songs. May I be excused to my closet now?
No, I need another waxing.
I'm Kathy Lee. Go to bed, children. Your father is going to wax me. Evil Kathy Lee.
Hey, Ben, according to Cody.
Mom is such a bitch.
Cassidy says, yeah, for sure.
For sure, they're just waiting.
Here, give go.
She might hear you quiet. Go to your closets now.
Go to your cots. Go to your military cots.
I'll slip you an MRE later tonight.
As a meal ready to eat.
Thank you so much, Daddy. I'm starving. I hate the Brussels sprouts and gruel. I know you do.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
What?
One last thing. I heard yesterday you were moving stationary in Tampa. You're moving stations in Tampa, maybe.
Yeah, you know what? I shouldn't have talked about that on the air yesterday.
Exactly.
Strike that from the record, sir, please.
It is stricken.
Forget that ever happened. Just wait till after the first of the year in Tampa Bay, Florida, and we got a big surprise ready for Tampa St. Pete.
That man should erase that from his mental chalkboard.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It'd be easy to do. It's a small chalkboard.
Hello. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Just wanted to ask you guys. I hate Kathy Lee as much as you guys, but Playboy's got a standing offer to her for $2 million if she'll do a set one.
She'll never do it. Come on, that would ruin her whole image. She'll never do it. They got offer $20 million. She'd never do it.
Would that change your opinion of her? Because I want to see that rack. I hate her.
No, and listen.
How
would it change my opinion of her? I agree with you. She's got the worst personality of any woman on the planet.
And she's been in Playboy magazine. She's in the back of the magazine next to the chuck wagon.
I'd say, if you took her clothes off, you think her boobs look like a pair of sweatshirts at Marble Room.
I do. I really
and I
do.
Think that they probably hold, they still got some gravity left, I think.
To hold their shape?
Yes, I believe so.
I'm basing it on the picture in the Inquirer with the tube top.
Everybody takes a bad picture, Mike, occasionally. You and I have had our share of bad pictures.
Oh, absolutely, and where our breasts have looked awful.
Listen, my point is I agree with you that she's a big bitch, but I think she's a pretty good-looking woman. You know, I'd do her if I could.
I'd do her, but I think I'd need more than just a roll of duct tape. I'd need a sock in there, too. Because she gets the tape, I'm sure.
All right, well, thank you, sir.
Thanks. John Wayne Gacy calling us right there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I've got a celebrity sighting.
A celebrity sighting?
Three of them, actually.
Really?
I was up in Reno, and I ran into Dan Aykroyd, Lauren Bacall, and Kirk Douglas.
Were they all together?
Actually, they were all making a movie together.
All right, hold on a second. I see this on the screen now.
Yeah.
I will have a, let's get a side bet going.
Okay.
And I can't participate because I've already seen the spelling.
Very good.
How do you think, I got a dollar says, no one in this room can correctly identify the way that Christine Kerner has spelled the last name Aykroyd.
All right.
Dan Aykroyd.
All right.
Mike, are you in on this action?
Yes, I'm in on this. I'm going to.
Buzz, are you in on this action?
I'm in, sure.
Rob? No. Rob has seen the screen.
Oh, okay.
So it's just Mike and Buzz. Would you each write down your answer, please?
All right. Very good.
As to how you think Christine Kerner has spelled the name Aykroyd, keeping in mind there is a chance she has spelled it correctly.
Okay.
Hold on, then we'll hear about your sightings.
No problem.
I love it when Christine writes stuff on the screen.
Okay.
I'll bet you a dollar that neither one of you guys can get the correct spelling. I mean, the way that she has it spelled, which might be correct.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay, Mike, can I have your answer, please? Mm-hmm. Mike says A K R
O-I-D. Mike, I owe you a dollar.
Really?
Wow. A-K-R-O-I-D.
Wow.
Royd.
Wow.
Was that A-C-K?
Yeah. Oh, man.
No, Mike, there is.
Wow.
Dollar from me to you.
I'm good. So happy. That's good. Thank you, Christine.
That's right. A-K-R-O-I-D. Hooked on phonics. Ackroyd.
That's what I did. I just did it phonetically. Ackroyd.
Yes, you did get Lauren Bacall correct.
B-A-C-A-L-L.
All right. Also, Kirk Douglas was correct.
That's good, Douglas. You know, he's
celebrity sightings correct.
Mm-hmm.
Chris correct. Sacramento correct. The only incorrect would be Ackroyd.
Ackroyd.
This is Dan Ackroyd.
That's good.
All right. So what about those three celebrities?
Ackroyd. Actually, Lauren and Kirk were just walking through the casino, but Dan was on the roulette table for about 3 hours.
Cool.
Throwing way big money down. He was actually really nice to most of the people, but he was getting a little loud at about 3 in the morning when he finally decided to get up and stumble away. But
Was he pounding?
I walked by him. I didn't want to bother him, you know. I figured everyone was hounding him, but he was really nice to everyone.
That's cool in a casino. If you see somebody famous in a casino, it's great staring for celebrities because you can actually, you know, walk by and look, and they're focused on what they're doing,
right.
And there are loads of people in there, so you can really just linger and stare at a celebrity without feeling like a jerk.
Here's a question about Dan Aykroyd,
mm-hmm.
A-K-R-O-I-D. When did he become such a fat ass? Can you pinpoint
Neighbors?
The movie in his cook? No. Neighbors?
No.
You watch that movie? Still skinny in Neighbors.
Killing Minnesota.
Well, he was fat by the time he did My Girl.
He's back to skinny now, though.
Oh, he really was fat?
Yeah, he looked pretty good, actually.
Driving Miss Daisy was a real lardo.
I think that was his first fat movie.
Yeah, it was a real
Driving
big
Miss
fat
Daisy,
movie.
Yeah, because
was My Girl before Driving Miss Daisy?
No, just after.
Have you seen the movies on HBO all the time where he kills Jack Lemmon? Have you seen that? It's like Getting Away with Murder is the name of it.
Yeah,
the guy who he thinks is a Nazi.
Out in the
theaters for like half an hour, right?
Yeah. He's super fat in that. Big load.
So he did not look fat in person?
No, actually, he looked pretty good. I believe he was probably actually in between takes because he had one of those, like, two-way radios on his chest, and he was sitting there talking into it every now and then. So I probably assume, it was like 2 in the morning, and the guy looked like he had just come out of a makeup shed. I mean, he was just completely done up and ready to go.
Okay, so he looked good.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. Matter of fact, when I walked in, I just spotted him, and I was like, what?
All right, hold on. Thank you for the call.
All right.
Here we go. I got the Dan Aykroyd film history here. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll pinpoint exactly when he was fat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Blues Brothers, not fat. Neighbors, not fat. Dr. Detroit, not fat. Trading Places, not fat or
not.
Fat,
no.
Ghostbusters, putting on a few.
Yeah, that might have been the transition film.
Think about this, though. This could be the defining Dan Aykroyd getting fat movie. Spies Like Us.
Chase? Yeah, wearing a lot of heavy coats. Hard
Ben?
To tell.
Okay. Dragnet.
Dragnet, he was fat.
Caddyshack 2.
Would you suck the poison out of my ass?
That he was definitely fat. And it's Ghostbusters is the turning point.
Ghostbusters 2. Driving Miss Daisy.
The big fat and good.
Loose Cannons.
Mm-hmm.
My Girl. Sneakers. Coneheads.
Great movie.
Quite an impressive resume.
Oh, man, really. You know, and for
My Girl 2. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, did we forget one?
Yes, My Stepmother the Alien. That's when he started putting on a whole lot of weight. He looked kind of like a fat ass in that one.
Was that even in his filmography?
No, it wasn't even in there.
No way.
Don't you remember that one? Kim Basinger was the witch or something?
No, you know, I get that one. What was the one that Jeff Goldblum was in? With his wife. You know,
Gina Davis.
Yeah. Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yeah. Buckaroo Banzai.
I think Jeff Goldblum is in Buckaroo Banzai also,
right.
But the one I'm thinking of is, either way, all those movies, they're all just awful. Okay, yeah, we forgot that one. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, goodbye.
This is the Don and Mike Show. It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Wednesday, July 21st, Don and Mike hit dinosaurs in picturesque Laurel, Maryland. Come on out and be a part of the raunchy fun. It's all new, and it's all new. The show starts at 9 p.m. Dinosaurs is at 13501 Baltimore Boulevard. Call 301-210-3466 for directions. The Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. It will fascinate you.
Welcome, everyone. I am your damn guide, On. Now, I'm about to take you through a fully functional power plant. So please, no one wander off the damn tour. And please, take all the damn pictures you want. Now, are there any damn questions?
Yeah, we're going to get some damn bait.
Eddie.
This way, please.
Tune for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Let's welcome right now. I've been promoting him as a Pulitzer Prize winner. Tom, are you a Pulitzer Prize winner?
Yeah, unless you know something I don't know.
Way to go.
Yeah.
All right.
That deserves a round of applause.
That was a bluff on my part.
I think it was about 8 years ago, though.
Still valid.
Hey, sure. Within 10 years, that's something to be proud of. You know, after the 10-year mark, though, Tom, you know, it kind of wears off after that, right?
Yeah, they expire. Until you drop dead, and then it's always in your obit.
From the Washington Post and syndicated throughout the country, if anybody is an expert on television, it's our friend, the great Tom Shales, and he's here right now making his annual appearance.
Yes.
To rank on Kathy C. Gifford, because listen, as much as we talk about Kathy C. Gifford on this show,
yes,
one of our favorite times of the holidays is reading Tom Shales' review of Kathy Lee's Christmas special, because I said this yesterday, I really mean it.
It's such a satisfying column.
You're such a wordsmith. You can take the hatred that America genuinely feels for this woman, and you write it in such a beautiful, touching way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you expose. And can I tell you something else you've been great at recently, Tom? Writing the stuff about the hearings.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
You know,
I listened to them this morning. They said they were searching their consciences. I thought, searching for their consciences. Probably what
getting heated today, I guess, during those hearings.
Oh, yeah.
So there'll be a lot more to write about.
You don't like, and you don't want to see a heated Henry Hyde.
No, you certainly don't want to ride in the elevator with him after that. That's for
that's
sure.
Our man. Now, listen, so Tom Shales, every year, he writes this scathing review of Kathy Lee's Christmas special.
And you would think that Kathy Lee would slow down a little bit, that perhaps she would, like just touch it down a little bit. No, she's not doing that. She's back and worse than ever.
And we've asked Tom to come on. Normally, in today's newspaper, Tom would have his review of Kathy Lee's special. We would read it and give it our dramatic reading and then ask Tom for his input.
Because he'd get an advanced copy and he'd be able to take a look at it before America got to see it.
And usually you play music under it, right?
When we make it very theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
But this year she did not supply you with that, Tom?
No, CBS, I believe at her behest, refused to provide an advanced copy.
Now, is that an advanced copy to any critic, Tom, or just you personally?
So far as we can determine, no critic was able to secure a copy of it. Much anticipated event. So my barf bag is hung by the chimney with care, and I'm going to watch it tonight.
I will tell you that I watched her show today, and she pulled out a picture of the toe-headed Cody, who is, she makes stand up and perform on this special. Makes him sing a song by himself this time.
With old Gip there, standing next to the Christmas tree, and Cody now, who is I guess about 6'8", and sitting next to Frank has the look, that same look that he has anytime he's on stage with his wife.
That's last year where you slayed me, Tom, where you wrote that she, she just wheels Gip out, and he just kind of stands there mechanically, stiffly, kind of just waves and goes, hi, everybody.
So will we be able to look forward to something in the Post and wherever else you're syndicated around this great country on Monday, in Monday's paper, regarding, will you give us a review of the fabulous Kathy Lee show?
I'm going to do my best.
I know you will.
It's a sacred duty. I try to. It's just my way of trying to jolly up the holidays. I don't mean any harm.
I know you don't,
Tom. But because you were not offered the chance to get an advanced copy of this, like you are with every other television show that's out there, will that affect your review in any way?
Not in the least. I intend to hate it no more than I normally.
That's right. He's totally objective, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely.
And have you heard anything? I mean, we've heard, of course, that Cody sings. We heard that she writes a song.
Some friend of hers handed her a song that she's going to perform, or Cody performs.
Have you heard anything about how jive it's going to be this year?
No. I know that. No, actually, you guys seem to know more than I do.
No, we're obsessed with the woman. You know that, don't you?
I don't blame you. I'm starting to feel a little guilty, though. She's so thin. She's like Calista Flockhart. She's got that thing they're getting, and I feel like maybe I shouldn't pick on her.
Oh, come on, please.
No, don't do that, Tom. Don't get a conscience.
Let me ask.
All right.
Let me ask you this.
All right.
It went away. That feeling went away.
What about the fact that CBS is running her show tonight at 10 o'clock?
Yeah, a family holiday special. Do you get the feeling they don't have a great deal of confidence in her? And,
10 o'clock. 10 p.m. Yes, sir. Here's Kathy.
Yeah, the waning moments of prime time on one of the least watched nights of the week. It's not really the best place to be.
Well, Tom, let me see if we can strike a deal with you then. If you're going to write about this, would that appear in Saturday's edition, Sunday's edition, or maybe Monday's edition?
I'd like to save it for Monday when Regis can read it in New York.
Well, there you go. Then I would be humbled if I might impose on you to join us Monday, and perhaps one thing I could offer up my dramatic reading of some of the highlights and maybe get your feedback. Might you be able to join us Monday?
If there are any highlights, yes.
Oh, way to go, Tom.
My highlights are the highlights of your column.
That's right.
That's what I meant.
Tom, we have total, you're being very modest, but we have total confidence in you.
Really? Well, I'll drink heavily over the weekend and build up my strength.
All right. Thank you. Tom Schill, see you Monday, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, now that guy, I'll tell you something.
He's got the best sense of you. He really has a dry wit. He really does.
That guy's a real freaking journalist.
Oh,
okay.
Fantastic.
Unlike Rudy Marsky, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's a real journalist.
Oh, he's so much fun. And, you know, he doesn't do overkill. He just does it in his way, which is worse than overkill. It's incredible.
He's biting, man.
Oh, he's got it all together.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Right? He's a man of his word. Said, you know, check the schedule.
Right.
Said, this is the day.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, December 11th.
That's right.
This is the day I come on your show to ring Kathy Lee. So now we're going to double dose of Tom Schill, so we'll get him on Monday also.
And, you know, last year he called from his vacation.
Yeah.
He was in Denver, Colorado.
Right.
I said, oh, I wouldn't miss it. And he called us from there. He's a great guy.
Out in Colorado, oddly enough, where Kathy has her second home also. Kathy,
that's right.
Kathy C.
Yeah, Kathy C. Gifford. All right. Well, we just wanted to make sure that we got Tom on today because he was nice enough for his schedule.
Oh, man. This is the Don and Mike Show.
That helps me to swing into action each morning. After I get out of the shower, I give myself a mini massage with aloe lotion. By doing this massage every day, I am literally staying in touch with my body. I can't help but be aware of whether or not I'm in shape. Once you've really examined your body, you have faced the moment of truth. Of course, we're all a product of our genetic heritage, and certain things we cannot alter. But I do think that self-acceptance is vital. Give yourself a break. There's something to like in everybody.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Okay, let's get to these dueling dads.
All right, we're going
to
put them in the octagon.
Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the main event.
Furby time. As I look out, I see many signs, Don and Mike 316.
Yes, very good. This is quite a wrestling crowd, and there's not a tooth in the house.
It's going to be Dad versus Dad as we're giving away a Furby a day every day from now until Christmas.
We've done this with mothers a lot, and I'll tell you something, they're fantastic. The dads have a lot to live up to.
Let's meet our first dad. He's from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and his name is Joe. Hey, Joe, buddy.
Hey, Don and Mike. I'm a radio disciple.
All right. Joe, who will you be playing for today? I'm
going to be playing for Evelyn.
Evelyn. Is that your daughter?
Dearest Evelyn, yes. And it's somewhat similar to Mike. She was born in March of 1995, right around when Mike had his first child.
Oh, a little three-year-old.
That's right.
A little three-year-old Evelyn. So is she old enough to know what a Furby is?
Oh, she knows. And she's asking, where are they? Where are they?
Okay. Joe, now keep in mind the rules. No cussing.
Mm-hmm.
No saying anything about the other guy's kids.
All right.
But beyond that, let it fly. Let's meet the challenger.
All right.
From Washington, D.C., his name is Matt. Hello, Matt.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Bonnie, Matt, who will you be playing for today?
Going to be playing for my daughter, Abigail, and my son, AJ.
Oh, two kids. That's great.
How old are your kids, Matt?
6 and 4.
And they obviously know what a Furby is?
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah. 6 years old. That's prime Furby territory.
All right, now, 60 seconds of the squared circle. Only one of you guys is going to come out on top.
and will go to the finals to win the Furby for your child. The other father will be a big, fat, hairy loser.
That's right.
And probably will ruin Christmas for his family. So don't let me put any added pressure on you. But let's start. Go, Joe and Matt. Go!
Matt, you scum, man. You did nothing on my baby.
Hey, Joe, not to say anything against your family, man, but if you go home to sleep next to a Furby every night, what the hell do you need one?
Hey, she's a beautiful thing. She talks back. That's all right. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, but only if you touch her, Joe. Sorry to say that.
I touch her with the pole. That's enough.
Hey, Joe, well, you need a pole, you know?
Hey, anything will do. Anything will do. You know, it's better waxing your own.
Hey, Joe, I'd rather wax my own than wax a Furby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, wax on, wax off. I don't want to hear it.
Hey, Joe, that sounds like a personal problem to me.
Oh, you're weak, man. You got nothing. Bring me something worthwhile.
Hey, Joe, I don't have
to. These guys are pretty lame. This is a pretty lame fight.
Yeah. Well, I know I got the first.
Not even a prayer. Not a prayer. You got nothing on me, baby. This thing's coming up to Harrisburg. I own it.
Joe, you live in Pennsylvania with a Furby. What the hell do you need me to send you one for?
Hey, it's Pennsylvania. I fit right in with that wrestling crowd. I got three teeth.
Hey, well, then take them all back to Pennsylvania because I'm taking the Furby home. My daughter.
All right. Boy, not at all what I was hoping for there.
No, not in a very mellow, very, very mellow. Nobody really went for the juggler in there.
Both of you guys are very civilized, man.
Yeah, this is a real fight. You know, the crowd after about 11 rounds would start booing.
too many clinches. They could be throwing stuff back. Well, let's see. What does the crowd think, Mike?
They don't like either one of them, Don.
I'm sorry. They're both disqualified.
Sorry, guys. Not picking up. But thank you for your participation.
Hey, that's the way it goes, man.
That's the way it goes in the octagon.
Let's meet our next two contestants.
All right, there's a lot to live up to here.
Calling us from Modesto, California, here is John, buddy. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, Don and Mike?
Going great, John. Who will you be playing for today?
I'll be playing for Sabrina and Rick.
Are those your kids?
Yeah, those are my 3-year-old and my 4-year-old.
What about Nina? That's what it says on my screen. Is Nina?
Well, those are the older ones. I got a 4 and a 12-year-old, but they're a little older than for the 30. They're 12 and 11.
How many total kids do you have there, Johnny?
I got 4.
4 kids.
Wow. 4 kids. I'm busy.
Either way, win or lose, I'm going to give you a package of rubbers when we're done with this. Now, John, let's meet your challenger. He's from Stafford, Virginia.
Oh, that's fighting country.
And his name is Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hi. How you doing, Don and Mike? How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Paul, who will you be playing for today?
I'll be playing for Nathan, my son. He's 7.
All right.
Nathan want a Furby?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You folks down in Stafford County, you like a good go now and then, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We can go.
All right, now, fellas, they're like pussy-fied stuff that those last two fellas were giving us. Like,
okay.
Oh, hey, I'd like to wax that Furby. Well, I'll tell you something. You're from Pennsylvania. No, those guys suck. But keep in mind that you can't go as far as cursing or saying something bad about the other guy's kids, okay?
Okay.
It's Modesto, California against Stafford, Virginia.
All right, 60 seconds in the squared circle. Ready and... Let's get ready to rumble. Go.
Hey, you know what all satisfied women say about sex, don't you? Nah, I didn't think you did.
Come on, spit it out. You ain't getting no fur. This little Furby don't belong to me.
Oh, shoot. You don't need no fur? Down here
in Stafford,
we need plenty. Figuring on everybody's shaving.
Just because you said it. What's wrong with a little shaving?
Oh,
you ain't getting the Furby. The Furby belongs to me.
Oh, no. You don't even know what
Come on, man.
Is.
You should have been a Monica.
Shoot.
All right, listen, I'm going to cancel another round of this.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to give two more guys a try, and if they can't do any better, we're going to go to the women, because the women know how to fight for a prize for their kids.
The ladies are just, you know, tremendous compared to the guys. And, for the guys, just a little piece of advice here. Let's stop being so obsessed about the fur, okay? The fur has seemed to be a running theme here, and it's not working.
Let's meet our final two male contestants before we decide to give up on men.
Okay, this is the last chance here. We've had 4 disqualifications.
And, you know, as much as men love to fight,
right?
I would think it would be rather easy at this point. You're talking about winning something for your kid.
Yep.
And it's like 2 hungry dogs, 1 piece of meat.
And, you know, guys can do it verbally. I mean, it doesn't always happen. has to be fisticuffs, but it always ends up in fisticuffs, but it's usually better if they have a real, you know, altercation.
Mike, here's our next contestant on WPW. That, of course, is World Pussy Wrestling. His name is Art. Hello, Art.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Art is from Falls Church, Virginia. He's a new player.
Uh-huh.
Art, who will you be playing for?
I'll be playing for my son, Anthony, and Christian.
Anthony! How old are your kids?
7 and 3.
They both want this Furby?
Very much.
Very much.
Okay, let's meet your contestants. He's from Manassas, Virginia.
Oh,
his name is Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hey.
Paul, who will you be playing for?
Nicole, Danielle and Nicholas.
Those are your kids?
Yeah.
How old are they?
1.5 and 5 years old.
And do they both realize the value of the Furby?
The 5-year-old does. The 1.5, he'll just chew on it.
All right, fellas, you're the last hope for mankind. You got a lot to accomplish here. I mean, not only are you competing for the Furby, but you're representing your sex. Because if these guys blow, we're going to open up the phones for women. Because one thing we found out of the show is that when we throw out one prize, women know how to fight for it.
Yeah.
All right, guys, Art and Paul, on your mark, get set. Rumble.
Oh, Trick, Jesus, you don't deserve a Furby. All you're going to do is take it and sell it on the black market, go to the record store. You ain't got no teeth. What do you need a Furby for?
Go back to your fat wife. You're the fucking me.
Oh, my God. You know what? She keeps me warm and nice. At least I got a wife. You're probably gay. You ain't got no children.
Your wife had a penis.
She ain't got no, it's a strap on. Yours got a real penis.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Come on now.
Don't talk about the kids.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right, pick it up, guys.
Sorry, you ain't got none. I'm sorry. How can you have kids with a man? You're gay. You don't have any kids. Come on. Just admit it. Say something, would you?
Come on. Come on, Buford.
What?
Good as a whole.
Oh, I'm a redneck.
All right, listen, hold on. That guy right there, that guy's the winner in this round.
Paul, congratulations.
Paul?
You made it through the first round in the octagon.
Thank you very much.
No, wait, hold on. I think it was the other guy.
Now, Paul from Manassas was the guy that won, I think.
Now, both of you say something right now.
Yeah.
Say your names, please.
My name is Paul.
But the other guy, say something.
He's from Paul's Church. He ain't going to say nothing.
That's the guy that's the winner, right there. Hold on. Which one of you guys called the other guy gay?
I called him gay.
And who are you?
My name is Paul from Manassas.
There you go. All right, okay. Right. There you go. Paul's the winner this round.
Hey, I'd just like to say season's greetings to the other guy. Nothing personal.
Hey, the guy got off the guy.
He just hung up.
You really? You knocked him out of the octagon.
I got to look out the window now. Jesus.
You knocked his block off.
I got a wild thought here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do a round now,
right,
with two women, and then for the final round,
sure,
have it be like O.J. versus Nicole.
I think that's a great idea.
Dude, this guy, Art,
that's terrific,
who seems to be the king of the men,
against
Paul.
I'm sorry.
The king of the men.
Paul.
Right.
Take that name, Art, off the screen, please.
Get Art out of there.
And we'll put Paul, king of the men,
against the winner of the women.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
So it'll be male versus female in the next round. I think this guy, Paul,
right?
The problem is when you fight one guy, pretty limited what you can say. I mean, he gave him all his best shots already. Your day.
Sure.
Your wife has a penis.
That's right.
All that other material. So, Paul will battle the winner of the female round.
Very good.
Let's reset the phones now, and let's get girls to call in.
And we'll have Paul over on the sidelines, so we'll be waiting in the green room to do battle with the women.
So, moms, this is your chance. We were going to do this just for the guys today, but they blew it.
They blew it, and we're going to have a battle of the sexes.
We had 6 guys, and only one guy has got a big enough set of balls to go to the finals.
One guy left standing.
So all you girls with balls, call us right now. 1-800-636-1067. We'll have two moms battle it out, and the winner of that will take on Paul.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What exactly are we looking at here? What do you mean?
Is it the Frank or the...
I don't know. It looks like, I think it's a little bit of both.
Break some veins!
What's that bubble there?
What do you think?
How did you get the beans above the bag? I
mean, I don't know. What's the right? It was a well-thought-out plan.
You know, there really does seem to be an awful lot of skin coming through. So I'm going to bring them back to you, honey.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
All right. Charles Roy Hill. Christine Turner both tell me that the women want to fight.
Sure.
I think the women have always demonstrated in this type of competition they are superior, but Paul has a tremendous responsibility because conceivably he could win.
Yes, and we only have one Furby. Mm-hmm. So to everybody that's calling today, don't think that we're going to do that disc jockey cop-out.
No way.
Where we say, you know what? We just can't decide. You both win the prize. Yeah. The guy or the gal.
No, it's not going to work like that.
You know, and there is no guarantee that we're going to give it to the woman either.
That's right. Okay?
Because I know a lot of people think that we are always soft on women.
No way.
We are hard on women.
Absolutely.
I said hard on
you. Hard.
Here is Patty.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Patty.
How are you?
Herman Patty. We're doing great. Where are you calling from, Patty?
McLean.
Who will you be playing for today, Patty?
This is for my best friend's little girl, Katie.
You know what?
That was our audience. That was our audience doing that, too.
If you have not squeezed the baby out,
right,
then I'm sorry you cannot play.
Oh, that's not fair.
I'm sorry.
Patty, we just have standards on this show.
I mean, even if you had had the kid and you adopted the kid, if it was your kid, it would be okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hey, Don, Mike, about that last comment, you're on your own.
Okay.
Sorry, Patty, you can't play for the neighbor's child.
Here is Kim. Hello, Kim.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. Kim, where are you calling from?
Fairfax.
Hi, Kim. Who will you be playing for today?
I'm playing for my beautiful redheaded son, Alex.
Alex. All right.
Okay.
Do you call all the time, Kim?
Excuse me?
Do you call all the time?
I've called a couple of times, yes.
Oh, a very good ear. You recognize
I'm
Kim's
voice? I'm your bathtub
voice?
Lady.
You're the bathtub lady?
I'm your bathtub lady.
Baby.
Call correctly, Mike. You like the left one.
What?
If I recall correctly, Mike, you like the left one.
Oh,
it's a lady that was soap up her breasts in the bathtub. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's an automatic contestant.
All right, well, you're in.
Let's meet your competitor. Her name is Lori. Hello, Lori.
Hi. Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Lori. We're great. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Waldorf.
All right, Lori, who will you be fighting for today? I mean, playing for.
My little boy, Michael. He's 4 years old.
Oh, and I should have asked you, Kim, does your son, Alex, know what a Furby is?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes, he knows what a Furby is.
You're talking to Kim, Lori. Alex is how old?
Alex is 8.
Okay, and Lori, does Michael, your son, know what a Furby is?
Yes, he does.
All right, well, girls, remember, as I said before, you're both killer animals. There's only one piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the other night, they ran Jurassic Park on TV.
That's right.
So think about that goat.
Yeah.
You know the goat that they bring up in the metal cage to try to lure the dinos over with?
And the big storm comes, and, you know, what's his name, Newman, is trying to get away with the special vial, and then they eat the goat.
Or even better, think about that guy that's taking a crap. You know, and they knock down the little house, and the guy's sitting there with his pants around his ankles, and the dinosaur actually comes up and eats the guy.
Shakes him.
While he's taking a crap, and, like, you see the guy's legs coming out of the dinosaur's mouth.
Wouldn't be a bad way to go. Now, you know, there are two reasons. You wouldn't mind going in the middle of sex, and that's probably number two, you know?
So to speak.
Yeah.
So listen, think about that. Get the thought of prehistoric killer animals.
That's right.
Because remember, there's only one Furby.
And don't attack the other person's kid.
Yes, and one of you will go on to battle Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, here they are in this squared circle. It's Kim and Lori. Go, girls.
The reason you want a Furby is so I can teach you how to talk.
Kim,
you're down on the corner and turns away down the street. You almost have enough money to buy one.
And you're not going to get it.
I tell you what, like I said, go down to Walmart corner, turns and tricks for days, pull on your back, make some money. And
how much better they are than the guy on the
corner? I tell you what, that's how we teach you how to talk. Where did you come from?
Well, obviously you didn't get way up right up the front of the line.
Oh, I'm like, you know what? You're so ugly. It's kind of have ready to two feet to play with you.
Right.
You are so stupid. You can't put two sentences together.
You are
so stupid.
So ugly.
Dumb, you ugly.
I don't know who's who.
Where am I from?
I am from Fairfax, where all rules.
Fairfax.
Off the Waldorf, stay on the corner, turn a couple tricks.
All right, pipe down there, ladies.
Wow, pipe down. Which of you called the other one a whore first?
That'd be me, probably.
Is that Kim?
I don't think I use any foul language. I told her to turn tricks on the corner in Waldorf.
Oh, okay, that was Kim.
I thought a whore was terms of cussing.
Exactly, that's why I didn't use the word.
No, whore is not cussing.
I told her to turn tricks on the corner in Waldorf and
yes,
she
did, Kim.
Yeah. Kim, you are going to the finals.
Yes, you took it to a new low, Kim. Congratulations.
Oh, and I meant every word.
All right, hold on there, Kim. Hold on.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Lori.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Okay, bye-bye. Oh, she was vanquished. She
bye-bye.
Could tell, yeah.
That's okay.
You got to have the killer instinct.
You do.
Now, the best of the men.
The best of the women.
Billy Jean King, Bobby Riggs. It's right here, the battle of the sexes.
Now, here's Paul. You remember, he's playing for his kids, Nick and Dan.
Yeah.
Kim is playing for her son, Alex.
It's Mike. Don.
Yes.
It's Danielle and Nicholas.
Oh, I'm sorry, Danielle and Nicholas. I'm sorry, my mistake.
Hey,
Paul, you heard Kim. You know, you got quite a competitor there.
Is this the redhead?
That's my son, is the redhead.
Oh, you're not a redhead.
No.
Okay.
Oof. Just so you know, same rules apply. Nothing about the kids.
Right.
But everything else goes. Please, no cursing. And just so you know, Paul, whore on this show, not a dirty word. All right, are you ready, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Two parents.
Yep.
One Furby.
Yep. Here we go.
Let's go.
A whore.
I can't even understand what they're saying. Can you?
Paul's holding his own.
You know what? I think this is going to be a battle of attrition.
That's right.
That will let this go longer than 60 seconds.
I think that's a good idea.
Just see who the last fighter left standing is.
Hey, what are you talking about? I can't even understand you. I can smell the liquor from here.
You can't eat because you can't understand because you're stupid.
She wouldn't.
She
don't like hair to come all the way down through the knees. Big, thick, furry hair that smells and stalls.
Don't come back to mom again. Don't do that, honey. When you're on the top radio, that's not good. Don't come back to mom like that.
Take the hair underneath your arm.
I tell you what.
You probably have
that boy
on your teeth.
I'll tell you what. I think my name is
Dolly. Now that goes all the way across your face.
Your husband has to
stand back.
Them legs are in there.
She's pretty relentless, man. She is.
Right? God knows you
but I must admit, I want her to lose.
Bring back,
he's had some good ones.
You're not
listening,
but you're
not listening. He's had a lot of good ones.
Big old slab of bacon with some eggs and cheese and
cheese.
I can smell it from here. I can just
smell it. That's a
that?
Why didn't your husband?
Jake, don't make money out of your skanking like that.
You're the one that was standing on the bridge. Come on.
Tell me. I tell you what, the one that was standing on the bridge.
I mean, who's not on the bridge?
All right. Whoa, boy, what a competition.
Ooh, I have a slurpy headache.
Fantastic job, you two.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I hate to cop out here.
Well, I'm not giving away two Furbies today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think too close for us to call.
Very, very close. You know, they both got their digs in. They both would give a shot when the other one would pause.
Right.
There was a moment in there, Paul, where I don't know where you were hyperventilating, but you dropped the ball for a while.
But then it came back strong.
Then you came
when
back.
When he was talking about the hair.
That's right.
Hair around the knees, braiding your arm hair.
Pretty strong stuff.
And then Kim, very strong with Whores R Us on Paul's wife's back.
That's right.
Listen.
I asked for a Walmart for you, Don.
I know you did.
We are going to take...
Hold on a second. We are going to clear all those lines out right now, please, Christine.
We will take 10 phone calls.
Very good.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
At 1-800-636-1067. First person to get 6 out of 10 is the winner.
Very good.
Okay?
Let's go to the phones. Very exciting.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who did you like?
Has to be her. He took that long rest.
All right, so that's okay. One for Kim.
Yes.
One for Kim.
All right, thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who do you vote for?
Him, the guy.
The guy.
Why?
Because you can understand what he's saying. She's rambling
right.
on. You can't even make out what she's saying.
All right, this could go very much down party lines. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I vote for him.
For who?
Him.
Him.
Yes.
All right, that's 2-1.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yes, I have to vote for Paul.
You think she might have been too good.
Oh, 3-1.
Yeah.
Paul's good.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
He was hurting. 100% chance it was Paul.
Paul, that's four. Four for Paul.
4-1.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi, who do you vote for?
I vote for him.
All right. Oh, that's a lady. That's 5.
5-1.
Ooh. Boy, oh boy.
That means.
Pretty incredible.
Let me get my timpani out here.
Next one could do it. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to vote for the guy.
Ah,
that's
the guy.
Over the top.
That's it.
And there was a lady in there that voted for him, too.
That's it.
Paul.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Charlie, please bring in the Furby and let me describe it to Paul.
Come on in there, Charlie. Bring it in. Paul from Manassas, Virginia is the big winner.
Paul, you had 6 votes. Kim only got 1 vote. Hold on, let me give her a prize. I'll come right back to you.
Very good.
Hold on a second. Kim?
We take all those guy callers. Of course I'm going to leave.
Kim, I just took the first... How many calls do we have to take? 7? I took the first 7 calls.
That's right, and 5 of them were guys. Who's going to vote for a girl?
Hey, well, that's no problem. You can go out and get one at Walmart, Kim.
Ah!
Listen, Kim, I'm going to give you some mint snuff pouches.
Oh, come on.
The perfect alternative to chewing tobacco and cigarettes.
Hey, Don.
Yes, ma'am.
More bathtub.
What?
No more bathtub.
Huh? All right.
Come on. I call you that all the time.
No mint stuff pouches then.
Yeah, you get nothing.
Give that to the guy in Manassas. His wife will chew it.
Goodbye.
We'll see you later.
You call that the old sore loser.
Yeah, sour grapes doesn't work.
Plenty of other girls out there willing to bathe themselves for us.
Absolutely. They'll wash righty and lefty.
See you later, Red. Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul, let me tell you.
Yes, sir.
The grateful winner.
Yes, sir.
About your Furby.
Yes, sir.
All right, this is a gray and pink one. The story of Furby. You take a Furby home, you'll never be alone. The more you play, the more they do. Furby will keep amazing you. No Law Dance and We Tee Sing. Eta, Eta, yeah, yeah. Furbies have come for Unai, you, and Ka, me. Your Furby comes courtesy of Tiger Electronics. Enjoy it, my friend.
Yes, sir.
That would be the prize of the year.
Made in China.
Thank you to Don and Mike.
You got it. Thank you. And which one of your kids are you giving that to there, Paul?
I'm going
to
let them both fight over it.
All right. Excellent. Beautiful. Thank you, Paul.
All right. You all have a good holiday.
And hold the line. Now, we're not done with the Furbies.
We got more Furbies. We got a whole closet full of them.
Every day. We'll come up with different ways for people to fight over these things.
That was a wonderful battle of the sexes.
Mm-hmm. I hate losing listeners over this.
I know. It's
as
unfortunate.
Bathtub lady.
Yes. I hate that about you.
You know, come on. I mean, we took the calls, and it was a fair fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it that she was so annoying.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Expertly aged like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Yes, now the weekend. That's what I'm supposed to tell you, including the poker game.
Yeah, poker. I hardly knew her.
But first, I have to tell you, the greatest moment of being a father.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this on the weekend.
On Saturday, when we went to Bart's football game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times his eighth grade team plays in the afternoon. It's like a 2:30 or 3 o'clock on a weekday, so I don't get to go. This was the only game of the year that I was going to get to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very uptight
with Frida, of course.
You know, I was like the doting father on Saturday morning. I got up early and I took Bart to school so he could do all the pregame stuff. I came back home and got my wife. The game started at 10 o'clock.
Right.
So I wanted to leave our house by about 9:20.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's 9:20. She's still up putting her makeup on. 9:25. She's still thinking around 10. You know, I'm going upstairs. We got to be there at 10 o'clock. So we left at 9:32, which is a little too late for me because I'm a little hyper about this.
Flying out of the driveway.
So we got there, and as we pulled up to the school, all the kids were running out on the field. So right away, I just shot her a look, and I said, see what you made us do?
You wanted to see the run into the stadium.
Right,
you
know, it was an exciting moment.
It's cool.
So we parked the car, and said it was a long walk from the parking lot to the field, and I was seriously dragging Frida behind me like, come on, we got to get down, we got to be fast. Now, keep in mind, Bart's the second string fullback. He's not even starting in this game,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to be there.
Sure.
So they kick off. We missed the first series of downs because we were late.
Oh,
we go and we sit down, and the first thing that I want to do is I want to make contact with my kid.
Right.
So I want him to know that I'm there. And he's...
means a lot to him. I remember that when my dad would come to games. It's a big deal.
Except Bart's to that stage. He's 13 now where he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
So he was standing by the coach waiting to go into the game. And he would turn around every once in a while, and I was doing this, like giving him the salute, or I'd give him the peace sign, or I'd wave at him. I don't know, every single time he saw me, but there was nothing back.
Well, you know, he just wanted, you know, he knows you're there, and it means a lot to him, but he's not going to let you know that.
I know, but at this point, I'm too irrational to get that information through me. So now I'm doing this. I'm like going,
you don't know whether he's even aware you're there. Okay.
Right. Because
I understand.
Because we were late getting there, and I thought that maybe before the game he would be looking for
him. He doesn't know it's me.
Right. He does not get it. So I'm waving, and I'm going like, hey! 37!
Yes.
37!
Let me take you back, if I will, okay? What you have to remember at that age, trust me, he's looking up there and looking where the parents are. He's looking there every 5 seconds. He may not acknowledge you, but believe me, he wants you to be there. That's probably the most important thing for him on that.
Finally, he turned around at one point, like the fifth time, and I'm making a big ass out of myself, waving and yelling his number out. He turns around and he gives me one of these.
Hey, slow down.
Keep it down, big mouth. All right, so now I'm chilled out. He knows that we were there for the start of the game,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't gotten into the game. And the team is losing. They ended up losing the game 26-0.
Now, what part of the game are we at here?
He gets into the second quarter.
Second quarter, okay.
So, and the kid that's playing in front of him is a goddamn moose.
Mm-hmm.
This kid should be on the offensive line. Aren't all he's doing playing fullback is a kid like 6'3", 200 pounds.
Wow.
Right? So I can see why my kid's not the starter.
Mm-hmm.
Much smaller than that. So Bart gets into the game. First play out of an I formation. He knocks this other kid on his ass. I mean, knocks him down.
That's my boy.
And I break every rule that I give man or other parents for. He does that, and I stand up and go, I'm like all excited, but keep in mind that they lost 2 yards on the play.
Right.
Right? He wasn't the ball carrier. He was just a blocker.
But he made it. You are, now the team does not matter. You are,
I'm just rooting for my kid.
The isolated camera is on your son.
Right.
Right.
So he gets in for a couple more plays, and then he gets taken out because, as it turns out, he's been blocking the wrong guy.
Oh, that'll do it.
All right. So the coach takes him out, and now I'm really mad. Because now it's the third quarter.
Right.
And, like, since he blocked the wrong guys, the coach hasn't put him back in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm lecturing Frida at this point.
Right.
I'm just going off on her ear very quietly, but I'm saying, you know, I don't know why the coach doesn't put him in. You know what I mean? He plays hard. He tries hard. Whatever. Just stay in there. just there. He wants to play in a game. Why won't the coach put him in? And then it's all coming back to me in high school, and I start lecturing freely. I said, do you know when I played high school football, that I went and asked the coach to put me in the game, and the coach said that that's good, that that's your initiative. I'm going to go down there and tell him to ask the coach to put him in. And she's like, sit down.
Chill out, Dad.
Don't go down there.
Right.
Don't do anything. He'll be okay. But I was very hyper.
Type A.
So they put him back in the game.
Right.
Right? And they get a nice little drive going. And he catches a swing pass out in the backfield.
Oh, cool.
And he gets about 10 yards. And I just about made a mess of my pants. I mean, I'm beside myself. All the other fathers, they give me like high fives and stuff.
That's
like,
cool. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
So, yeah, that's my man. That's my kid. Same drive. Quarterback goes back. Same play. Swing pass to the fullback. Nice little pass. Bart catches it. 15-yard gain.
That's great.
Now, at this point, I'm in ecstasy. It's like the team's losing, but hey.
He's racking up some yards.
He's done well. So now they're driving. Their time's running out. Less than 2 minutes left in the game, and they're like on the 15-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, run that same play again. Well, they call the same play again.
Right.
This time, the quarterback goes back to pass. The other team, now they've run this play a couple of times. They think it's coming. So they come out, and the kid just grabs Bart's jersey and pulls him down.
Pass interference.
And that's when I really made the horse's ass on my nose.
Oh, no.
Because I stood up, and, I got a loud voice.
Right.
I screamed, flag! Ref, where's the flag? Flag! And I screamed so loud, all the players turned. The players on the field, they all turned.
Oh, no.
But, at that point, the referee pulled the old flag out.
Threw the flag down. Right, oh, that's good.
So Mr. High Five again, like, yeah, good call.
So they got the interference call.
Good call. Then time ran out.
Oh, and that was it.
That was the last play of the game. But they had one more play after that. They didn't score the touchdown.
Hey, but he caught a couple of passes. That's cool.
So at that point, I can't contain myself. The game's over. And I said to Frida, I'm going out on the field. And she said, no. No parents are going out on the field. Just sit up here. He'll come up here. And I said, no. I mean, I was so excited for him. I go running down on the field, and I'm standing there waiting, and they're shaking hands with the other team. They make two lines, and they shake hands. And then I go over, and I go, hey, how you doing, buddy? And he goes, Dad, what are you doing down here? And I said, great game. And he said, Dad, don't put your arm around me.
Wait outside the team entrance, Dad.
He said, I have to go have my meeting with the team now.
Right.
And we're going to get Pepsis and Cheetos or something. I said, I'll talk to you then. Right? And it's at that point, real defining moment.
Yeah.
Because first off, he said, don't put your arm around me.
Right.
And then kind of shooed me away.
That's normal for that age.
So I'm just standing there like a little puppy in the middle of a football field.
That's oh, man.
I see them going, running away.
You'd be the same way when you were that age.
Absolutely.
You got to understand that, but man, that is the greatest.
So they go over, they have the team meeting.
Right.
And finally, I'm waiting now. At this point, I've learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go running over there.
No.
I'm waiting.
You're going over to the team meeting, like leaning into the huddle. Like leaning in, what was that? And then offering suggestions.
So I'm standing there, just waiting and waiting and waiting. I finally see number 37 come around the corner. I'm taking it cool, right? So I walk up and I make the cardinal mistake again. Put my arm around him. I go, hey, great game. He says, Dad, don't put your arm around me. There's guys here. So I said,
quit loving me so much, Dad.
I said, okay. Well, how about this? And I stood in front of him and I went, great game. And I, boom, hit down on his shoulder pads with
right.
both my fists. That he liked.
No, good.
He said, yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Good job.
Yeah. And then it was off the
next
wild
time you
world.
Get your own helmet, you get one of those headbutts, you know?
And then it was off the wild world.
Oh, really?
Because he was kids having a birthday party.
Mm.
And yes, that was a very, very worrisome time for us.
Yeah, stay out of the wave pool.
Because this park, Wild World.
Right.
They've had all kinds of, like, stabbings and shootings there and everything.
Yeah, it's gotten a little rough out there.
But the parents were going. It was a supervised thing, and they had Halloween stuff out there. So that's why during the poker game on Saturday night,
I
was waiting to get the phone call from Bart
to see if he was cool and everything was fine.
Telling me that he was still alive, that he had made it out of his afternoon at Wild. So by the time I got him on Sunday,
right.
Now keep in mind, he went to a dance on Friday night. They had an eighth grade dance. He went to a dance Friday night. He was up late. Then Saturday morning, he was up at 6:30 to get out to the football game. Mm-hmm. Played the football game. Went to Wild World all day. I picked him up on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I said to the mom and dad, his kid, he had spent the night at their house, I said, how late were they up last night? Dad says, well, I don't know, 1 o'clock,
ooh.
2 o'clock. And I look at Bart, and zombie, man. I mean, he's totally zombied out. And here's what his voice sounds like. He goes, hey, Dad.
How you doing?
Now, it's at this point, you know, my wife has done the smartest thing of all. She's gone to her mother's for the weekend. So what this means is Sunday, excuse me, Sunday, it's got to be my job,
right,
to make sure that he does all the grunge work.
Yeah.
He has to do all of his homework.
Mm-hmm.
He has to take out the garbage.
And he's working on 4 hours of sleep.
He has to play the piano.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that he's not going to be very nice to be around.
So you're not going to get any hugs on that day either.
No. No, absolutely not. So on the way home, we got in the car Sunday morning, and I said, hey, you know, great game yesterday. Here was the response. That's all I got from him. So we got home, I put him to bed
right
yesterday morning. He went to sleep at about 11,
mm-hmm.
and I went up at 4 o'clock to wake him up, right? And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's 5 hours of sleep.
That's charging your batteries?
I went up to wake him up. He didn't want to wake up.
Right.
He's like super crabby. Like, Dad, I don't want to get up. So, you know, I hate doing this. This is Frida's job, to be the mean guy. So, you know, I had to say, no, come on. I'm trying to think, what would my wife do?
Right.
Time to get up. I'm waving my finger. Time to get up. Do your homework.
Time to make the donuts.
Do your homework. So he gets up and he does his homework. Then he wants to go to bed again.
Wow, he is wiped out.
It's like 8 o'clock last night. He says he's tired. He wants to go to bed. Now, I guess what a smart parent would have done was kept him up for a little while more.
Right.
But I didn't. At this point, I'm so flustered out of having to be a parent all weekend that I said, listen, fine, just go up, go to bed. Good, I'll see you in the morning.
Thinking he'll go the whole night, right?
Yeah, that went well until midnight. So midnight when he came in, he wakes me up and he goes, Dad, I can't sleep.
And I'd like a sandwich.
I am wide awake.
And I'd like a full buffet.
So I go, oh, well, what do you want me to do about it? He says, Dad, I've been laying in there for a half hour because I didn't want to wake you up, but I can't sleep. Can I turn the TV on?
Right.
And I said, yeah,
sure, what the hell. Turn the TV on.
You're playing it, you're ad-libbing, right? So he turns the TV on, and before you know it, you know, I'm wide awake, and we're watching Sports Center, and it's like 2:30 in the morning.
So he had a good morning this morning, too, going to school, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and then he went to sleep about 2:30, 3 o'clock. So then I wake him up at 6, and when it was time to get up for school, again, I'm waking up Damien.
He's
like, I don't want to go to school today. And I'm like, listen, you can't do this. If you got to get up and go to school. You got to go to school.
So the move would have been to hold him for 2 more hours.
Like make him wait until 10 o'clock or 10:30.
Yep.
Then let him sleep all the way through.
Sure.
No.
Hell, how are you going to know that all the time?
Well, it was basically a lazy move on my part.
Right.
At that point, I'd been dealing with Damien for 4 hours.
Sure.
He got up at 4, and I thought, 8 o'clock? Oh, what the hell? He'll sleep all the way through.
Just, you know, you let him stay up for 2.5 hours, hit him on the shoulder pads, and put him back to bed.
Right. So that was the weekend. Meanwhile, the whole time, you know, my wife's calling like every 5 minutes. La, 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 la.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
I'm up here at my mother's house. La, 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 la. And they give me all kinds of orders. You know,
right.
Don't forget to have Bart take down the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, Bart has all these jobs to do on Sunday night. Well, she didn't know. I put him to bed. I did all the jobs myself.
No, she's in a supervisory capacity from a long distance.
I figured it wasn't worth it to go up and wake him up to have him take the trash down to the curb.
Very full weekend.
So I would just do it myself.
Nice to know the body clock has to be regulated even at, you know, when you're 13.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the Don and Mark.
Saturday night in America's heartland. The Colemans are enjoying a sizzling plate of monkey fajitas. Thursday's a great night for monkey kebabs. And hey, Mom, after school, the kids really love fried monkey fingers. Grab it by the tail, throw it in the skillet. Tasty, nutritious, in just 20 minutes from cage to plate. Mmm. Monkey. It's what's for dinner.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
Christine tells me there's a hairdresser on the phone.
Huh.
Guy says his name is Betty.
All right.
Guy named Betty.
A man named Betty.
I'm calling all day long. Hello.
Well, it's not all day long. Just for the last 45 minutes or so. I have people under the dryer.
Hello, Betty.
Yes, hi.
Betty?
Yes.
Wait, were you a boy or a girl?
I'm a man.
Betty. Why do they call you Betty?
Because Elizabeth is too long.
I understand. No, I don't.
Were you trans?
But anyway,
were you trans?
I'm sorry?
Are you trans something?
No.
You go by the name of Elizabeth?
Yes.
Are you homo?
It doesn't matter to us.
Not at all.
You're not homo, yet you're a hairdresser and you call yourself Betty because it's shorter than Elizabeth?
That's correct.
What would you say to this, pardon me if it's an unusual question,
yes, sir.
Elizabeth is a girl's name.
Well, that's only your interpretation.
So is Betty.
Elizabeth.
What's that?
It's only your interpretation of the word Elizabeth. Elizabeth is also the name of a city, but I'm not a city.
Well, named probably after the Queen of England.
Name one boy named Elizabeth.
My daddy.
Your father's name was Elizabeth?
Yeah.
How did that work?
Well, I'm actually the third Elizabeth in a line. And to tell you,
really?
I'm not sure exactly how the first Elizabeth got named, but that was...
All right, let me just recap here.
Okay.
You are a hairdresser. You talk with what seems to be a discernible lisp. Your name is Betty, but you're not homo.
That's correct.
Hmm.
And actually, I'm not necessarily a hairdresser. At least, what I did, what I was calling about was that it was...
How's your mother, Jack? How's your mother, Billy?
Touché.
Touché.
Well,
you sound so gay.
A place that I have here in Georgetown called John Q. Pubic. And I was actually calling...
Oh, now listen, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Listen, me and Mike don't care. We're friends of the gay people. I swear to God we are. We're very pro-gay. I mean, we make jokes, but we make jokes about everybody.
That's right. We're an equal opportunity offender, but we are a friend of the gay community. Now, please...
God bless you.
Start talking stop talking in this nasty code and tell us what's really going on.
I was calling because...
No. We must deal with the issue of your sexuality before you can discuss whatever else you'd like to discuss with us.
Now, come on, Betty. If you're joking with us, now just let's clear the air right now.
I'm not joking.
Your father was Elizabeth II? Come on.
My father was Elizabeth II, T-W-O-N, 2-O-O.
Oh, my God.
And you don't love men?
No.
Really? Tell me who your ideal woman is, then. If you're hetero, tell me who your ideal woman is.
Queen Elizabeth.
Well, you're playing a game with us. We're not going to be able to stay on with you if you're going to play a game with us.
Well, actually, my name wasn't supposed to be the issue. I'm calling.
No, but your name is Betty.
Now, if you're giving us a little alias, that's fine, too. We don't care what you call yourself.
Well,
on
if I was going to give you an alias, I would have been Robert or something like that.
Yeah. But your name is Betty.
That's correct.
Pretty Betty. And you're not homo.
No.
You're a very pretty girl, though, aren't you?
Let me ask you something. Would you do Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Who is that?
I believe the question is
you're queer as a $3 bill. Let me ask you this. Would you do Matt Damon?
I don't know popular culture. I don't know who that is.
Right, like you don't have a big picture of Matt Damon right now in front of you. How about Lenny DiCaprio?
I've heard of him, but no.
I bet you have. So, Betty, what's going on?
You're listening to this show and you never heard of any of these people. These are the people that we talk about incessantly.
I don't
see celebrities.
This is the seat of pop culture in America right here. You're on that show right now, Betty.
Sorry.
I bet you're a big Merv Griffin fan, aren't you?
Ooh,
I am
Merv.
From the early 60s, yeah.
Oh, later than that. Merv worked all the way through the 70s, Betty.
Maybe you could be his next Denny Terrio.
That's possible.
Uh-huh.
Hey, do you want to hear about this thing? Because,
you know, Merv Griffin invited Denny Terrio, the host of Fans Fever.
Put it under the dryer. Could you hold on just 1 second?
I thought you weren't a hairdresser.
I'm not. It's more like hair shaping. It's body.
You got to start telling the truth, Betty.
No.
Otherwise, we got to hang up on you, Betty.
It's body hair shaping.
Body hair shaping.
Yes.
Is that why you mentioned that other thing before?
That's what I was trying to call you about.
We'd rather talk about your sexuality.
Somebody's under the dryer right now?
Well, part of the body is.
Is it a man or a woman?
Man.
Because your hair shaping?
Yes.
Down there?
You're so gay.
This is for a mullet.
For what?
A mullet.
I thought a mullet was a fish. He's very, very gay.
A mullet is like a body wig.
This guy doesn't like fish, Mike, if you know what I mean.
Do you mean a merkin?
Yes, but we call it mullet.
You're making a toupee for a man's genital area?
No, it's like for the entire body, so that you have a whole body full of hair, and then you can shape the hair according to your whim.
How many women have you been with, Betty?
A lot.
How many is a lot?
Two.
Two. How many boys have you been with, Betty?
None.
But yet you're working on a man's hair down there right now.
No, it's actually on the back.
No. You're just lying to us, Betty.
No.
Yes, you are.
Listen, as I said, this show's very pro-homo, and anytime you'd like to call and be honest about your sexuality, then we'd love to talk to you about whatever this offbeat, pun intended, business is that you're working on, okay?
Not the John Q. Pubic.
No, listen, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I just deleted that out. I'm not going to give you any free plugs for your business until you're straight with us, pardon the pun, about your sexuality.
That's kind of a shame, because I have been forthright.
No, you haven't.
Uh-huh.
No, whenever a guy's going,
you're so gay. You're so gay. You exude gayness, man.
That would be a surprise to both myself and my wifeling.
Your wife.
Your wife. Your wifeling.
And that business doesn't really exist, does it?
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Why won't you admit you're gay? Me and Mike don't care. I swear to God we don't care. I've even said on the air, I'm probably at least,
well, depending on how my mood, sometimes been as high as 85%.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear about...
No, I want to hear about your sexuality.
There's nothing to talk about.
Why don't you give me your wife's phone number? Let me call her up then.
That would be a very bad idea.
I won't give out the phone number on the air, but I would like to talk to your wife.
Mm.
You ask her what it's like to make love to a real man every night.
Named Elizabeth.
I'm starting to lose interest in this phone call.
Yeah, so are our listeners. Don't worry about that, Betty.
Many of them not as open-minded as we are.
That's right.
Probably being flooded with calls right now. Why do you keep this homo on the air? So we're just trying to come to the end of the rainbow. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Sure you do, Betty.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you're dreaming. And there's no hair zone, is there, Betty?
It wasn't called...
Don't say what it's called.
Don't say the name of it.
I wasn't going to say it.
What are you wearing right now, Betty?
Clothing.
What kind of clothing?
T-shirt specific. And pants and flippers.
Slippers. Shirt and pants and slippers.
Well, I've got one slipper on my right foot and a big boot on my left foot. It's just...
You got a hospital gown over the whole thing?
No.
You're the queerest, man. I don't care. It's just too bad you can't come to grips with it.
Betty?
Yes?
What's wrong?
I was distracted.
Why? Why is that?
Well, there's the guy under the dryer.
The guy under the dryer. How come we can't hear the dryer?
Because it's over on the...
Is the dryer between your legs?
No, it's at the far end.
The far end where you're drying a man's back hair.
That's right.
Far end, do you mean your back end?
No. The far end of the room.
Is he mounting you right now?
No. We're doing a Jackie Gleason profile on his back right now.
Sure you are.
Right.
That's great, Betty.
Okay, Betty.
Betty the weird one. Hey, Betty, you're the weird one of the day.
I compliment you guys on talking about shaving down yonder.
Yeah, that was the whole purpose of your call.
No doubt you're into that, Betty.
No, it's the business.
I'm going to ask my friend Homo Joe if he's ever heard of you. But all you homos are very tight-knit community. I bet, who knows, maybe you've even dated him before.
I
think he'll be able to tell me something about you.
Okay.
About why you won't support your sisters and come out.
I've done my best, fellows. So now I'm going to say goodbye.
Fellows.
You take care, Elizabeth.
Thank you, guys.
Say goodbye.
I'm saying goodbye.
So gay.
Goodbye.
So gay. And Christine said the guy's called like 1,000 times today to get on here.
Wants to get his little prepared comedy on.
Well, this will hang up now, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, say goodbye. Oh, there you go.
Goodbye.
They ruined it.
So gay.
That whole thing about you being under a hairdryer, they ruined it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to salute your pro-homo-ness.
We are very pro-homo. I mean,
absolutely.
That's one of the reasons that I listen to you every day. But let me tell you, my gaydar was going off the third word out of that man's mouth.
Oh, sure. Of course. Come on. His name's Betty, please.
That's a gay guy calls, wants to do a little shtick about what we were talking about, the shaving yesterday. And
didn't think that we'd be more interested in talking about what he's got doing down there.
Yeah, he just wanted to, the play was the thing for him.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Don and Mike.
So your gays. They're very theatrical.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, hello.
That dude was gay as a $3 bill. That boy was so gay, I'm getting sugar diabetes right now.
Okay. All right.
Oh, man. This is the Don and Mike Show.
When you look at the black race, black people are very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. lot of us like to dance. If you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it. White people were blessed with the gift of structure and organization. You guys do a good job of building businesses and things of that nature. And you know how to tap into money pretty much better than a lot of people do around the world. Hispanics were gifted in family structure. And you can see a Hispanic person, and they can put 20, 30 people in one home. They were gifted in the family structure. When you look at the Asian is very gifted in creation, creativity, and invention. If you go to Japan or any Asian country, they can turn a television into a watch. They're very creative. Then you look at the Indians. They've been very gifted in the spirituality. It forms a complete image of God.
Music for the Don and Mike Show is provided by Megawatt Incorporated, professional club and mobile disc jockeys. Visit their website at www.megawattinc.com. If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
What's happening?
Hi.
I got just riding down the road here, and my kids cracked me up. I got a 7-year-old who does the cheerleading bit for football, you know, and I got a 4-year-old who follows along with her.
Yeah.
And one of the cheers is dynamite. That's the way it's supposed to start. So she says, "We're Don and Mike. We're out of sight. We're tick, tick, boom, Don and Mike."
Did they do? Are they in the car with you now?
Yeah, I got them in the car.
Well, come on. Make them perform for us, please.
I don't know if I can do all that.
Come on. Sure you can.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Just pretend they're Cody and Cassidy.
Let me work the speakerphone deal. You there, guys?
Yep. Hello, girls.
Molly, hit the Don and Mike. Molly!
Oh, Danny, don't make us do it.
Danny.
Oh, Jesus. Hello, Donovan, your father of the year there. Hello.
Hey. What's up?
Donovan Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm working the stick on the kids, but...
You know what, I thought I was hanging up on that guy. I'm sorry. Hello, Donovan Mike.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yep.
Well, I'd just like to know, I know Lizzie from back when, and we used to have a little shindig going on.
Oh, come on, you're not gay.
Oh, I'm serious, I am.
No, you're not gay.
I swear to God.
You are not gay.
I promise you. Look, I can describe to you in so many details.
I'm sure you can, but you're not gay. You're some guy calling up now pretending to be gay.
No, I promise you. He did a little thing on my hair down there for me.
How are your plans going for the holiday?
Oh, they're just great. I'm in PWP, and we're having all kinds of people over.
I don't even know what that is.
Without partners.
Parents without partners?
Mm-hmm.
This. Do you think he's one of those guys who's gay and just doesn't realize it and won't admit it, or do you think that he was just trying to put on a little play there?
I think he's playing around.
Yeah, just playing around, had his little prepared stick, and
he's trying to get a free advertisement.
Would you like to date him?
No.
Have you ever been to his business?
No, I have my own ticket. Problems to take care of that.
Oh, your hair down there?
Yeah, hair down there. I have somebody flying in from Germany tonight.
Oh, somebody flying in from Germany?
Especially to treat that hair down there?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, let me ask you a homo joke. Do you shave?
Yes.
Okay. No surprise. Okay, thanks, homo joke. Thanks for checking in.
Okay, check it
out. All right, happy turkey day.
To you too.
Bye-bye.
Way to go to be able to think of turkey after that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
It's like a stuffing of turkey.
Dr. Homo.
As homo Joe will be doing tomorrow, I'm sure.
Great.
Stuffing. Man, you know, nah, I'm not going to say that. Hello. I was just thinking of a Thanksgiving turkey.
Don and Mike.
I was just going to... Yeah, I have the key. I was going to help Betty there out of the closet.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jackass. I mean, listener.
I have the key.
Hello, Don and Mike,
the gatekeeper.
Hello.
Hello?
It was the gatekeeper.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, look, I'm a bicycle courier, and I'm right at 20th and K. If you want me to go scope out how legitimate this guy is, I'm more than happy to.
No need to. We've already had our homosexual expert, Homo Joe, tell us. We knew he was gay.
Yeah, we knew he was gay. It's all the other stuff we weren't sure about. But you know something? That's the mystery that makes this show special.
Frankly, we really don't care about it.
Okay.
Guy was a good caller.
Peace out.
Betty, peace out to you. Word to your mother. Thank you, soul brother.
A funny story for y'all. Just so y'all know, brothers do listen to you.
Oh, I know that, my brother.
Between my part-time job, sometime I go home, and I'm sitting outside of a grocery store waiting for y'all to go into a break at 11th Street. Guy comes over to me and asks, what am I listening to? He had his Walkman on. I said, Don and Mike. And he gives me a big thumbs up.
There you go.
Wow, yeah.
Right on.
That's right. We're down with that.
Thanks, man. You want some Afro Sheen or something?
Hey, I'm the whitest black guy you'll ever meet, but that's a whole different story.
The whitest black guy you'll ever meet.
Hmm. Seriously.
Maybe we should start giving away like Afro picks or something.
That'd be fantastic.
Show.
Buzz has one.
Yes, I do.
Way to get the brothers involved in the show.
Yeah. While y'all on, this time when y'all do it, the show at the Bayou.
Yeah.
Can you get them to put the lights up? I was at the last one. I was the yucca puck off to your left flashing pictures, but they didn't come out real well.
Yeah, sure. Come on up. We'll make sure you get some pictures.
That'll work.
All right. See you later.
Love y'all.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Peace. Bye, homie.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Last call. Hello.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi.
This is Donna. Who's this?
This is Donna Mike, Donna.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, remember at the beginning, Donna, when you said, hi, Donna Mike, this is Donna?
I'm sorry.
And I said, hi, Donna Mike Show?
I'm a first-time caller.
No excuse. Who's this?
I'm sorry?
Who's this?
This is Donna.
Hi, Donna. It's Donna Mike.
I just wanted to, I was calling. Like I said, I'm a first-time caller.
Uh-huh, duh.
And I just wanted to...
Who's calling, please?
It's Donna.
Donna!
Mike, it's Donna.
Donna, how are you?
Hi.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Well, I was calling because I wanted to...
Is this Donna?
Yes.
Donna, I'm sorry. We're only talking to second-time callers today. You're a first-time caller. Am I right about that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a shame. You have to call back next time and you'll be a second-time caller. But don't call on the days we're doing first-time caller day.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Who is this, please?
This is Donna.
Donna, you first-time caller?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's a shame. This is second-time caller day.
Oh.
Hey, Donna?
Yes?
See you later.
Man. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Look at you. Hear the replay of that.
Hell, at least summer's over. She won't get any bugs in her mouth.
We'll be
right back.
This is Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Just want to say thanks for making our day go a little bit quicker.
Oh, you're so nice. You're not a witch, are you?
No, being called things similar to that, but definitely not a witch.
Okay.
But wanted to ask a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Who's married to the Clemson graduate?
That's my wife. That's Frida.
Okay. Good taste in women, then.
This must be a call from down in Greenville.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don on my show.
Hey there.
You know, I was talking with a guy at my kid's school last weekend when Bart had a football game.
Mm-hmm.
Some other guy that went to Clemson,
yep.
The school that my wife went to. And I hate it when she mentions the story that when she was at Clemson...
Right.
This is a long time ago, like 1980. My wife was one of the girls that would go out on dates with prospective football players.
Actually welcome a welcoming committee of sorts.
Now, she says she never put out.
Right.
But a name that she does throw around a lot is that guy Dwight Clark, the guy that caught the famous pass from Joe Montana when they beat the Cowboys.
Tight end, right?
Yeah. I guess he had a tight end. You know, I still remember that game. Frida and I were sitting in our living room. We had just been married, like, not even a year, watching that game.
Right.
And she knew nothing about pro football, right? This was the first big game the 49ers ever won. Nobody ever heard of Joe Montana before except at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So he throws the pass to this guy, Dwight Clark, with, like, 1 second left, and they beat the Cowboys.
Great moment.
All of a sudden, she says, Dwight Clark, I know him. Like, way to ruin a great football moment for me, because now whenever I see that guy, and now he's like the general manager of the 49ers.
You wonder if he had his way.
That's right, if he had a first and 10 with my wife.
So he was one of the she was one of the first people that he dated when he went to Clemson.
Yes, she and another girl took him out on a double date.
That's not bad to have that deal, you know, where you date the football players that are coming in, the prospective stars.
She maintained she didn't do anything.
Yeah.
We would like to welcome you to Clemson. We find that Clemson's social activities are absolutely intriguing.
Yeah, but you know, my wife's good looking.
Yes.
And she definitely had a past before she met me. Very definitely.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Janine Garofalo, High Society Magazine.
Really? Topless? Bottomless?
Topless.
Topless?
On a beach, someplace in Europe.
Really? I'd love to see that. Underarm hair?
Touching her? No, I can't see the arm hair. It's blurry.
I'm guessing that she shaves her underarms, Janine Garofalo.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, based on that being an image thing, that she has that grunge look for purposes of image, that perhaps underneath, I guess that's part of the attraction. You've always speculated that underneath all that, somewhere lurks a real woman.
She repulses me, yet at the same time, she turns me on in a weird way, Janine Garofalo does. I hate her,
right?
Yet I am somehow drawn to her. I love her.
That's why you think she shaves her arms. You know, hear her armpits. That's why you think that when in fact you probably find just a big briar patch under there.
You know what's probably a mess, though? It's her place.
Oh, God.
I bet her place is totally unruly.
Landscaper?
Hello. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Caught me off guard here. I didn't think you were going to put me on the air. I just moved here from Anchorage, Alaska. And
Where is here? Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from Virginia.
Right.
And a DJ that I listen to faithfully up there knows one of you, and I'm not sure which one it is.
Well, who's the DJ?
Bill Stewart.
Oh, I never heard of him. You might. You know how I am, Don.
Oh.
Anyone from my past, I have no memory of.
Well, he told me to listen to you guys.
It was probably me, though. I know a lot of DJs.
Okay.
And speaking of, I think that guy that took the naked pictures of Dr. Laura is coming on the show.
Oh, fantastic.
Either Friday or Monday. I got a call back from his Cato Kalin guy.
Oh, that's good.
But he's making the rounds. He's going on quite a few radio and TV shows now.
Look forward to chatting with him.
I said, I don't care if we get sloppy seconds or terrible thirds.
I bet he's curmudgeon-y, too. 79 years old. I bet he's a real curmudgeon.
Very curmudgeon-y, and Dr. Laura is very upset with this guy.
Yes, she is.
The guy that took the naked pictures of Dr. Laura that appeared on the World Wide Web.
He will be. That will be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, so we're definitely booking him. I'm not sure when, but sometime in the next 3 to 4 days, he's coming on the show.
Good.
Okay. So what? What? I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. I had a sidebar there, to quote Johnny Cochran, Mr. Johnny. I had a sidebar.
Sidebar, Your Honor.
Well, anyway, he just told me to listen to you guys, and if he had any idea, the first time I heard you guys was last week when you did the Strip Trivia.
Oh, that was a good first show to listen to.
Oh, gosh, if he had any clue what kind of show you were doing, he'd be moving here in a heartbeat, I'm sure. But anyways, you guys are great.
Well, thank you. It was very nice. Thank you.
And tell him thank you for us.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Bye-bye. And good luck on that career in Anchorage, Alaska.
The hell did I just do? I just thanked the radio guy.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yes, hi. I was calling about you looking for a witch.
Yeah. Oh, you sound like a witch.
Well, I've studied Wicca a little bit, and I was going to tell you that...
Wicca, that's great furniture, man. That's great furniture when you're just starting out.
No, it's called...
When you can't afford a lot of stuff, get yourself some Wicca furniture.
I spent a few weekends studying my Wicca, too. Absolutely.
Well, I've studied it a little bit, and there's this main law of Wicca called the threefold law, which means whatever curse or anything you do to somebody will come back to you three times. So if somebody's going to put a curse on Lutard, then it's going to come back to them three times worse.
Well, and we might have to have a good curse put on him that, he wouldn't be as annoying. Put a curse on him, a spell on him that'll make him less annoying.
Well, okay, answer me this question. How do witches stay in business, though? There must be some witches out there that are willing to do the bad stuff.
The evil witches don't.
Well, exactly. You're probably talking about somebody who's more into, like, the black magic, the dark magic.
Yeah, like Pinhead.
Yeah, like the Satanist, you know, that type of thing.
I'd like to just see. I've just had an ongoing fantasy of seeing Pinhead meet Lewis.
I'm sure you could find somebody to, like, summon the devil or something and have him do something. But
we do a pretty good job of summoning the devil every day. Satan's a big fan of this show. Satan has his way on this show. Well, listen, you don't know any current witches, do you?
Well, I mean, I practiced a little bit. You know, it's sort of like a learning process. Like, I've been a solitary practitioner where I've been practicing by myself. And
well, why don't you come down and give it a try on Lewis, then? What do you have to lose?
I don't have anything to lose.
We have another solitary practitioner here. His name is Daryl Nichols.
Oh, really?
He doesn't practice what you practice, though.
Yeah.
But he does do it in solitary, though.
And he also knows about Wicca.
His own Wicca.
His own Wicca. He knows intimately.
Oh, sure.
That's the first place he goes. Hi, I'm Daryl Nichols, and I'm a sole practitioner of my Wicca.
Well, listen, can we book you for Friday? Are you game?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, good.
Well, would you like to maybe study up and get all ready for Friday's show?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have, like, all sorts of, like, crystal balls, and you don't really need that. Like, the most of the stuff I do is, like, with essential oils and stuff like that. And,
oh, good. As long as you could do something to Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you could just, listen, he's already a very unlucky young man, so
yes.
I wouldn't want any kind of curse like that put on him.
Uh-huh.
But maybe, like, something that would, I don't know. I don't know if I would want you to give him a curse. It would give him, like, the painful drip, drip, drip. No.
Well, I wouldn't want to get that back 3 times.
Maybe just something simple like making his fingernails fall off or something.
Oh, see, no, I wouldn't do that.
Robbie?
If the threefold rule works, why not you make him irresistibly attractive to men? That way, when it comes back to you,
you're good, Ron.
It'll be excellent, but to him, it's a pain in the ass.
You're good, Ron. That's an excellent idea. What about that? Make him irresistible to men.
Well, I can look that up and see if I can find anything on that.
Sure, and if that comes back to you, that'll be a good thing.
Okay.
All good. Well, listen, what's your name? What's first name there, Witch?
Jennifer.
Jennifer the Witch.
Thank you, Mistress Jennifer.
Okay, hold on, please.
Okay.
I get my witches and my dominatrices confused.
Kerner, would you talk to her, please? Witch Kerner, would you pick up line 5, please?
Witcha.
Yes, but this is the first time that I've been listening to your show.
Yes.
My husband listens to it on a daily basis.
Yes, ma'am.
And I listened to it today, and I was highly offended, and I just wanted to see if I could call in and talk with you.
Listen, honey, listen, here's my point about this.
No.
If you're highly offended by this show, why don't you just change the channel?
Okay, listen. Because without us listeners, you will not have a show. Now, I do not understand why you had to be so ugly to that little person that called in.
I'll be ugly to whoever I want. Anybody that calls our show is fair game. You know that 99% of the people that listen to this show never call this show. Never. And the 1% that call in, they know that if they call to be on the air with us, they're fair game.
They are fair game, probably.
Correct. No, not probably. That's a fact. They are fair game.
But
and if you're offended, honey...
No.
You're speaking for... Honey, hey, shut up for a minute.
Don't tell me to shut up.
I'll tell you anything I want to tell you.
And I do not understand why you have to be so rude to people.
Because people are so stupid like you. This is what I'm going to get.
I can go ahead and tell you that I'm not stupid.
Here's how I know you're stupid. Here's how I know you're stupid. You heard something you didn't like on the radio, and instead of just turning it off, you have to call. Why did you have to call?
Because I have a voice, and a lot of people...
Oh, see, honey, this is not a democracy.
A lot of people do not know how to express their opinions. I thought that I would...
Well, thank God you're here to save the world. Thank God you are here to save the world from this radio show.
I would love to save the world if I possibly could, but I don't think that's in my power.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble? I'm going to guess one of the hee-haw honeys, like Lulu. Lulu, the late Lulu.
Vanessa Williams.
Oh, bull ass. First off, you're not black.
I didn't say I was, and she isn't either.
Oh, man. And you're not stupid.
No, she's not black.
Yes, she is.
She is not.
She is African-American.
She has a black father and a white mother. Oh. That makes her a mixed race. That doesn't necessarily make her black.
No, she's black in my book.
Why?
Because she is.
Why?
And she is fine.
Okay. I was raised in a white family,
right.
If you want to go into that.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm supposed to check.
Listen, honey.
Actually, let's tell the truth. We were both raised by wolves.
Honey,
Because, frankly, I really don't care what you think of this show or what anybody else cares.
Well,
if you don't like the show...
Continue on with your show if you don't care what other people think.
How have I continued on in this business for 25 years?
Well, I have no idea.
Obviously, there's a lot of people that like what we do that get the fact that what we're doing is having fun. And, you know, you're like you with
you ought to be actually a little easier on us. We're a couple of 26-year-old guys that are just trying to have a little fun.
You know, you're sure you're probably not 26 years old.
Oh, yes, we are.
You've got a big old 2x4 shoved up your ass, and you're very unpleasant.
I am not unpleasant. You were unpleasant. I was just...
Honey, it's my show. I'll be unpleasant to anybody I want to be.
I'd like to point out you didn't deny the fact that the 2x4 was up her ass.
Paying you a compliment, and then you're going to tell him how dumb and stupid
he
is.
Honey, listen. That guy was dumb and stupid. Why can't you get with the fact that I'm real? I appreciate the guy's a fan of my show. But if a guy's so stupid, he can't figure out after 10 minutes that he's on the radio, then he deserves to be told he's stupid.
I think that's so rude, though.
Well, then, honey, change the station.
I don't listen to your show.
Let me explain something to you.
To your show.
It is very important for us to keep the show moving. That is why we do it. We keep the show moving. That is our job. Don't you understand?
And if your husband's listening right now, I'm going to tell him it's time to trade in for a new model.
Why?
I can't believe that any man would come home to you at the end of a day.
Why? Oh, because
God.
I have a voice and an opinion?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I would put duct tape over your mouth in a second.
Listen to you.
I would.
I'll tell you what I think the problem is.
I think the problem.
Like you are in voicing my opinion. In other words, you cannot handle that.
Honey.
You need to be the only one that can voice your opinion.
Listen, honey, I'm the guy with the radio show.
And if anyone else has any kind of idea or opinion.
I believe the crickets have run off to get the cats.
Honey, first off, it's my show, so I'll say what I want. Second off. I have given you plenty of time to get your asinine, inbred opinion out on the air.
Right.
Now that you've said your piece, I'll wait for the world to cave in. Now, because you've said that, boy, I was too mean to that guy, I'll just wait for my empire to crumble. I'm still waiting.
I don't understand that cave in because I voiced my opinion.
Well, no, listen, what you said was, you said because...
Who's on the extension? Who is on the extension?
Excuse me?
You heard me, lady.
Who is on the extension?
Yes.
Was that your husband?
At the end of the phone? No.
You had him tied up.
Everybody else has the phone.
Is your husband there with like a little apple in his mouth?
Are you one of these bitches that I was screaming about earlier today that likes rice letters because you don't like commercials on TV?
No.
Are you one of those types?
No.
Then why are you the type that would call a radio show? If you don't like it, just change the channel.
To voice my opinion.
Well, I don't care about your opinion. Do you understand that? Your opinion means dick to me.
But you know what? I got it on the radio, and not only did you hear it, and Don here,
and that's
whoever I'm talking to.
Honey, that's what I'm saying.
She doesn't realize.
Got to hear my opinion as well.
Is there a possibility she doesn't know she's talking to us?
Honey, do you know you're talking to Don and Mike right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Then do you realize, when I said to you a moment ago, because I let you on this forum to say that, I'll wait for my empire to crumble now. Now do you understand what I was saying?
I didn't think that you would think that your empire is going to crumble.
Of course, based on one call from one hillbilly.
My little 2 cents worth in because I thought you were very rude to a guy that simply called to...
Listen, I want to tell you something. Compared to you, that guy was Albert Einstein. You are officially the stupidest person that's called me today.
Well, I'm glad I'm the stupidest person that's called you today, but you know what else? I also was able to get my opinion out over the air.
Big effing deal. Anybody can call me and get their opinion out. Anybody that calls me can get on the air. You've not performed some kind of amazing feat.
Oh, well, you just told me that only 1% of the people that listen to you would call.
And you know something? One of the things we do on this show, that we try to give everybody their opinion, and you know, it's not like we control it. It's kind of anybody can control it. Anyway, as a matter of fact, that's why we'll give you the final word. If you want to get your piece out, go ahead.
Okay.
Give us the final word. Go ahead.
I already have.
Well, I mean, if you want to wrap up, that's fine. You know, get a parting word so we can end this.
Go ahead.
No, I already have.
All right, well, then I'll have to have the final word.
Okay.
F you and your family.
Okay.
I hope your husband leaves you.
F you and your family.
Oh, now you're ugly. You're ugly. You said F you. I am totally offended by what you just said.
You're so ugly.
Glad. I'm so glad. But you know what? I didn't call you stupid. I didn't call you scum of the earth or whatever else.
Honey, listen.
I only called
for the last...
to tell you how much he appreciated your show.
For the last goddamn time.
That.
What? Who are you, his mommy?
Who's mommy?
Who, are you the guy that called me? Are you his mommy?
No, I'm not his mother.
Okay, then why don't you worry about... Do you have any children of your own?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you worry about them instead of guys that are calling my radio show?
I do worry about her.
Not enough. How old is she?
She's 8.
Has she had sex yet?
No, she hasn't.
How do you know that?
Because we talk about it on a regular basis.
Well, what's she doing right now? Well, you're on the phone. You got its constant supervision in this day and age.
She's listening. She's listening to the radio station.
You let her listen to it? I want to tell you something, honey. Your mom is
I
a bitch on ice.
I listen to the radio station. She never listens to the radio station. I never listen to your radio station.
Jesus Christ. Listen, I'll see you in hell, honey, okay?
You won't see me in hell.
I'll see you in hell, and I'll give you butt sex in hell.
Oh!
What do you think about that?
Jesus H. Christ.
Sometimes I just get tired of listening to her.
I know.
God, what a bitch.
I know. What a
bitch. Anahu. You know, that's a one-syllable no. Anahu.
Obnoxious.
You make that into a three-syllable word.
Obnoxious. Very obnoxious. And I don't know why.
Anahu. How are you? Anahu. You know, let me tell you the way
I'm
amazed.
I'm just amazed that people like this call. You really think you've achieved something by calling us? You really think you have?
No.
You've achieved nothing.
Turn the radio off. Turn the radio off and turn it on a month from now. I'll still be here with bigger ratings than I had today.
I'm now.
Oh, that's the first thing she didn't know. That stopped her for a second. She had an answer to everything.
Still be here.
He had an answer to everything, but that seemed to stop you for a second.
You have an answer to everything.
Sure.
Your husband told me that you were quick on the comeback.
Yeah, your husband's a smart man, except I don't know why he stayed with you all these years. He must be banging somebody down at his office.
He may be.
Somebody younger and tighter and better looking.
Oh, you think so?
Somebody who doesn't run her goddamn mouth so much.
I can tell you I'm 5'4 and I weigh about 110 pounds, so if take out someone that's younger.
Oh, you're lying. Lying about that. You know you're lying about that.
If you want to give me your address.
And let's tell us about the bad skin. Tell us about the bad skin.
Excuse me?
Tell us about the bad skin that you have. You know you have terrible skin.
I do not. My
yes,
skin
you
is
do.
Clear as a bell.
No. Come on. Tell us about the bull ass. Tell us about the pimples on your face and down there.
No pimples.
Oh, down there has got to be, a bubbling crude, as Jed Clampett would say.
Excuse me?
I'm just talking about your private area.
I don't care.
That I'm sure is a total untrimmed mess.
It is not, as a matter of fact. I trim it on a regular basis.
Oh, you have to. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, you know, you go 1/2 hour and it's just completely out of control.
I don't have to. I like to because I like to keep my husband turned on.
Now, listen, your area down there is like Al Pacino's face. You know what I mean? Al Pacino, the guy, has to shave like 3 times a day.
Of Don and Mike.
The only way you can keep your husband turned down is if you just keep quiet. Jesus.
You think so? Do you would you like to speak to him and ask him how he's
sure, let's talk to him. Yeah.
Okay.
Put him on.
Hang on.
Put him on. Finally, let me talk to this guy.
Don Mike.
Listen.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. What are you doing having this crazy lady call us?
Oh, man, I don't know.
How do you live?
I did first, but...
How do you manage to live with that bitch? There's only one way you can make this right. Divorce her right now.
Divorce her right now.
Leave the house. Get all your belongings. Get out of there. And my God, take the child with you.
Guys,
listen.
I can't do that. I love her too much.
Listen, between you and me.
Yeah.
This is just between you and me.
Yeah.
You got to be banging somebody down at the office, right?
No.
All right, come on now.
She's wonderful. She is.
At least give me this.
Yeah.
She's a bitch on ice. You got to agree with that. I know you're not man enough to say it to her face, but
she can be. She's got some stains. She'll let it out.
Oh boy, that's gotta be terrible. Now, would that be the daughter or is that the woman?
One more time.
Is that the daughter or is that the woman that's yelling?
That's the daughter.
Oh, great.
Being a bitch has got me where I am today. Just wanted to interrupt that.
Well, I want to tell you something. You're not only a bitch. You tell her this for me. She's the word that starts with a C.
Oh, God.
Tell her that. Don't use the word to say I called her the word that starts with a C.
He said here.
Well, this man is just so completely destroyed. Tell her.
I am, guys. I'm embarrassed.
Tell her.
I really am.
How dare you have this crazy lady call us?
The word that starts with a C. He said that doesn't offend her.
Sure. Why? She got a tattooed on her forehead?
Guys, I'm going to let you go here.
If I am the word with the
thing,
I'm the one that God loves so much, the ones that they
did
turn for.
Oh, good God.
She is a moron.
Oh, man. Do you want another word with her? Or I'm going to hang up.
Do I want to know what?
Do you want another word with her or you want me to hang up?
Oh, we can talk to her for hours.
Yeah, put her back
sure
on.
You could.
And vice versa.
Put her back on.
All right, just a sec.
Ha ha ha.
Hello, beautiful.
Why would you reach out to me?
You must be a sweetheart.
I can't keep my mouth shut.
How are you? How are you, beautiful?
So, listen, I understand we're in agreement that you are the C word.
Okay.
Oh, good. Okay, so we're in agreement there.
Okay.
I love it when we can agree to agree on something.
If that'll make you feel better to say that, that's fine.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, okay.
It does.
It
makes
okay,
me feel
agree.
All warm and fuzzy inside.
Okay, then I agree.
Okay, so say it. I'm a C. Say
no,
it.
I'm not going
to. Come on, say it. Just say. You don't have to say the word because it's a disgusting word. Just say, I'm a C.
If you say you're a D.
Oh, I'm a dick. What do you want me to say? I admit it. Say
okay.
It, but now say you're a C.
Okay, I'll say I'm a bitch.
No, say you're a C.
No, I don't think so.
No, come on. Yeah, that's an insult to all bitches. You're a C.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you're giving bitches a bad name by saying that.
Oh, you think?
You're a queen C. That's what you are.
You know, I think that a lot of women would love to be like me.
I don't think so.
Oh, they would love it. They would love it.
Funny. Listen, the last thing I want to say to you is that you will be able to hear yourself on our show in about 6 months because this...
I'm listening to you right now.
Honey, well, listen, I know you don't understand the delay, but what I'm saying to you is...
No,
when you
there
think,
is a delay. I'm listening to it.
You think you're calling in to make some grandiose statement, and I'm telling you that you, Lady C-Wordington, Lady C-ington, you are our best caller of the day. I'm filing this bit on Best Of.
And you just told me it was the worst caller of the day.
This will be rerun for the next 5 years.
You just told me that I was the worst caller.
God bless you. Great call.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Can you please apologize to the little fellow that called in earlier?
No. No, absolutely not.